about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh boy, this will be fun.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know why I pulled you over?
No. Why did you pull me over?
Because I just want to say hi.
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday for you. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's this, a band.
I laugh at you. I go home at night, and I laugh at you.
I see you shaking. It kind of makes me nervous.
It's cold outside.
Yeah, it's cold?
Yeah. Okay.
What's this right here?
It's my penis.
That's your penis. All right. Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
I'm gonna get you drunk. Get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump. My hump. My lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
And now,
Showtime, boys, is what it's all about. Forum for the people.
Our feature presentation.
Go. Hey, everybody, what's happening?
Go now.
How's it
Go.
Going?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I saw him walk in, and I thought, this can't be happening. This can't be his first day back from vacation, and he's coming in 10 seconds before the show starts.
But at least he didn't get the mics on in time. He's got that going for him.
At least I put on my headphones, and they were not working.
I'm back
not exactly
now.
Sure why.
My headphones.
What a lot of people will do hey, is, everyone. Hey, it's first day back. I got some catching up to do. I want to make sure I'm on the same page, know what the program is. Find out what I missed. Be prepared. Ready to go.
A couple early, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, had a little vacation, feeling energetic.
You guys know who you're talking about?
Sorry, our story bad. Here. Our bad.
Gotta be on the. I don't do any of that stuff at any point in the week.
Of course.
Get on the same page, make sure I know what's going on, I'm up to date, nothing.
So why should being out for a week made any
difference? Yeah, I thought maybe he would get, you know, tanned, rested, ready, and come back like Nixon.
Kevin is the most surprised by our program every day. That is true. The listeners have more idea of what's coming up on the show than Kevin does.
It's more fun that way, I find.
We are going to take your telephone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. Of course, you're out a week. You missed a lot, but the most important thing that you missed in the 5 days last week was this.
94.3. It's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever. And that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends. Lisa May here. It's been awfully nice. I will be out of here at 3 o'clock. And, of course, Bob Taylor comes in, so watch out.
Yeah.
He'll be taking you through right till 7. So have a great afternoon
watch
and keep
out.
It here at Magic FM.
Watch out. Bob Taylor.
Oh, Bob.
He's going to rock your face off.
That was the most important thing of last week. Bean
Absolutely.
Had the exploding belly button, and he was going to die. And at one point, I was going to die,
yeah.
And that's the most important
Wait,
thing from last week.
What's the exploding
week.
Belly button?
Oh.
You didn't see the photo on
no.
KevinandBean.com?
You guys know I try my best to avoid everything having to do with this show.
Well, you I'm- should not miss the medical oddities.
Bean has an alien bursting out of his stomach, and it was captured on film, and it is a...
It's horrifying.
It looks like someone jammed a flesh-colored lemon into his navel.
Oh,
just
no.
a giant, just a bulbous thing is coming out of his belly
it's
button.
It's coming out of it?
Yes.
Oh.
And here's the best part. It started 5 years ago.
I'm just looking at it now because it's starting to get painful.
So now he's doctoring for it.
It started five years ago.
I just thought I'd ignore the hideous thing poking out of my stomach for 5 years.
You think it would just go away?
Yes. Yes, I did. And it has not. It has continued to get worse.
That's
but
awesome.
At least I went to the doctor a week ago Friday because I was sick and got a referral for another doctor for my belly button. And then I went this past Friday. Ralph, you don't even know this. Because I continue to get sicker and sicker throughout the week.
Yeah.
I went this past Friday to get a chest x-ray and get officially diagnosed with pneumonia. So at least I've got that.
All right.
Congratulations.
Right.
So it's a 1-2 punch. So now I'm thinking,
you missed High Bean too, Kevin.
Oh, I was so high on
Friday.
Oh, my God.
We had High Bean.
Bean was high?
Yes.
Yeah.
He thought you said High Beam.
I did.
And he looked at me.
Yeah. Those are always on. Those are always on.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Now, Bean made his own concoction of medications that he thought would help him get through the show, including Vicodin and all kinds of uppers
right.
and downers. And he kept saying, oh, guys, I'm so high. The room is spinning. Room is spinning.
Now we're getting somewhere. We've been trying to get him to do that for a long time.
Yeah, man. It's
took
worth
pneumonia
it.
And a herniated belly button to get him there.
Wow. How do you like it, Bean? You want to stay in that state forever?
I did find out what it's like to be Kevin during the show, though, which is just to be perpetually confused.
Right.
and have trouble keeping up. It was weird. And then I was, at one point, I guess I was singing on the air, wasn't I, Ralph?
Yes,
you
were.
I didn't realize it. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was bad.
You were loaded.
It was rough. It was a rough week.
Wow.
But why don't we get started and see if we can make this week a little better, shall we? 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
The new hilarious Cheech and Chong DVD is called Hey, Watch This. It's out in stores now, but you win a copy of that. Don't forget, you can join our own beer mug from 5 till 7 at the Blockbuster store in Whittier. That's this afternoon, as Cheech and Chong are going to be signing copies of this DVD for you.
So what?
That's quite a treat, right?
About that. Meet them for realies?
For realies, that's right. So a very funny DVD. You should definitely check it out. Why don't we start with, let's start with Matt, who's calling about the big, big news over the weekend. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey there. No, I just wanted to give a tribute to South Park, because yesterday there was a whole bunch of bombs and fireworks in the middle of Times Square in this car, and the bomb squad had to come out, and it was such a big thing yesterday. I heard about it, and the news is trying to intertwine the relationship from this car bomb to South Park, because the news is saying that South Park made fun of Muhammad so much in some bear costume that it pissed off the Taliban, and that they
right,
really,
this is a shaky version of this story.
Yeah, it is. All right,
it's a little fact sprinkled into a lot of nonsense in there.
Every step along the way, there's a lot of slimy details that you're just missing or going over or something. I don't know what's happening with you.
For starters.
Just trying to lay down the information as much as I can.
Hold on. All right.
Yeah, we're going to clean that story up a little bit.
Saturday night around 8 o'clock is when it happened.
Right.
And yeah, they did find a car bomb, a badly put together amateurish car bomb.
It was an SUV filled with explosives.
Okay.
Parked in Times Square.
And they are looking for a guy that they think they found on surveillance video who's shedding his clothes and heading off in another direction. But it's not that they're trying to pin it on South Park, is they're trying to figure out why now, why there. And one of the speculations is that the Viacom building, the parent company that owns the network Comedy Central that runs South Park, is nearby. So they're looking into that as perhaps being the motive. They don't know that yet. I don't think they've declared that yet. They're just saying it's on the table. It's something they're going to continue to investigate.
However, the extreme Muslim website that did threaten Matt and Trey when the and Comedy Central when the episode aired,
put their home addresses up and everything.
Yeah, has disowned this amateurish car bomb, saying it wasn't them.
Okay. So that's where we are. That's where we are right now. Still a lot of investigation.
Don't know any further. Yeah.
But I would like Matt to give me all my news.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The Taliban parked a trailer full of fireworks.
Then this guy was watching
the
show.
Grand Canyon, and they said Matt and Trey were driving it.
Colbert. And then they killed Kenny. Let's try Douglas on line two. He's calling with some other animated TV news. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
My question is, you know, I was watching Family Guy yesterday, and, man, that was a depressing episode, man. Like, they had Brian trying to kill himself. Why? Family Guy's usually pretty good. Like, the last one with Meg was a lesbian. That was pretty funny.
Wait. Is your question Family Guy is not a place where Brian wants to be anymore, so he's taking his life? Is that you're asking about that?
I guess. They had him trying to kill himself with a gun, and, well, first he gave Stewie's poop out of his diaper, which is pretty funny. But after that,
sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, they figured I turned after that into like a freaking depressive town.
Well, I haven't seen the episode yet, but I've never watched a Family Guy episode that I did not enjoy thoroughly, so I'm sure that it's fine.
Were you in this one, Ralph? Do you know?
I didn't see it last night. Okay. I T-voted, so I haven't watched it yet, but probably.
Yeah, I
can't help you.
I think things are okay, Douglas. I mean, I don't think people in the characters in Family Guy are trying to kill themselves because they're not happy. Maybe just been a storyline.
Well, at one point, like he told he's like, oh, yeah, freaking out. I just want an easy way out.
Right.
Yeah.
Me too. Let's put you on hold.
I know the feeling.
I moved to line one. Hi, John.
Hey, what up? What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I just want to give it up to the Big Lakes over the weekend. Pulled another one off.
The Big Lakes.
Give up to the Big Lakes.
The Lakers.
Go Superior. Go Superior. Oh, that's my favorite, the Big Lakes.
I hope they sweep the Jazz, though, because I can't stand Boozer. Can't stand the guy.
Yeah, I hate him, too.
Big D-I-C-K.
D-I. Wait a minute. Hang on a second.
D-I.
Disc. Disc?
C. No, there's a C.
C, right. Sometimes C sounds like S.
Yeah,
C-K.
K. The K. With a capital K.
Yeah. Can't make heads or tails of it. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his either. And it was good to see him win. I'd like to see him sweep the series as well.
But I would love it.
I would like to say I'm tired of Laker fans, quote, Laker fans, who are, they panic at the very first sight of a problem. So when they were playing, you know, Oklahoma City, and they lose the first game, everybody goes, oh, it's over! It's over!
I'm not going to lie, that series had me scared a little
bit. Of course!
It should have you. There are a bunch of 21-year-olds dunking over Kobe and Gasol. I mean, come on. A little bit iffy.
Right, but if you're a true Laker fan, you know that that's going to happen. You know they're going to have a letdown.
Lots of fans said they didn't win this game decisively enough against Utah the first game of the series.
Yep. Right.
It's a matter of turning it on when you want, and that seems to be very difficult. But they seem to be doing it better than anyone else. Let's go back to the Family Guy.
Let's not. And while we're talking sports, by the way,
yes,
go Kings, Kim.
Oh, that
See
hurts.
What he did? See what I did there? Where's your
playoff
beard?
A week for that, haven't
Where's
you?
Your playoff beard?
That hurts.
Come on, man.
I shaved because not in the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. That's okay.
Yeah.
Playing room on the Flyers bandwagon. You want to come over here?
No, you know what?
Come
I can't,
on, buddy.
Can't get
come
on a Philly bandwagon.
I'm going to get you a jersey. Come on.
I'm going to go Penguins.
Penguins?
Yeah.
Oh, F those Penguins. F those bastards.
I knew you'd say that.
That's why Washington was knocked out. That was exciting.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, time to talk about today's show. Bean, you want to help us out here? I have no idea what's going on. I don't have a schedule.
I think you're doing great. All right, let's see what we got on today's Kevin and Bean show. Well, first of all,
look, only one thing matters. The only reason I showed up today.
Your boyfriend, Nathan Fillion from
Castle.
Nathan
Fillion from Castle is going to be here today. This is awesome.
He's a great actor.
He's good.
He's awesome in everything he does.
Love him in Firefly. Love him in Serenity, the movie based on Firefly. Love him in Castle. Love him in that gay sing-along video internet thing he does. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Love him.
You get the chance to be locked in a room with either him or his co-star from Castle. Who do you choose, Rob?
Stana Katic?
Yeah.
Stana.
I think due to her,
not even a question.
To please her, I would choose her.
She's hot.
Not just because she has a vagina and he doesn't?
No. It's because she's got a little crush on me.
She's got everything.
I'd like to
way.
Do her a little favor.
She's way hot and way funny.
Yeah.
Can make fun of herself and join in. And she's
Canadians.
Amazing. Tiny
Canadian chicks are good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nathan will be joining us also. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com will be on to talk about everything that happened with the celebs over the weekend. Things you did to your friends who were passed out drunk. It's a topic we visit about once a year on the Kevin and Bean Show. There's never been a better time after you hear about the guy whose quote-unquote friends put a live eel up his butt while he slept.
Wow.
But it ended funny, so that's okay.
Yeah, it did end funny when the eel ate his intestines out and the guy died.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Killed him.
So that happened at a party. You'll hear the voice of a man from Extra TV interview on Friday claiming to be Michael Jackson's last lover, says he had a sexual affair with Michael Jackson shortly before he died.
Oh,
get an update on that. Last night on 60 Minutes, Conan O'Brien finally allowed to talk. His first
barely.
Interview
yeah.
since he was booted.
Barely allowed to talk.
Well, he's not allowed to disparage, and he doesn't have much to say not disparaging.
Right. So what point, why are we talking to him if he's contractually obligated not to smash NBC or Leno?
Also, who will play Ozzy Osbourne in the movie? There are some surprising names in Hollywood who are being talked about as being Ozzy Osbourne in the upcoming movie. That actually is going to happen. And I know you make fun of baseball, and I know you make fun of baseball players not being tough like your precious hockey and football players.
Well, they're not athletes, if that's what you're saying.
But when you hear about the baseball player who passed a kidney stone during a game and continued to play, didn't miss an out, then I think you'll be impressed. So we've got an update on that story for you, too. That's all coming up. Plus, our first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman coming up next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:53. Or 5:53.
Okay, let's take that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. It's weird having
Kevin
back. It's
only Monday.
I forgot all the potholes that you got to drive around. Kevin in the driver's seat.
And there's no more money in the state to fix them either.
That's right. You have to live with them. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on?
Well, it is Monday morning, and so like every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. And the big winner this weekend, is the brand new Freddy Krueger horror film, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yay!
Jackie Earle Haley, who we talked to Friday, stars as Freddy Krueger in the reboot of the classic horror franchise. $32.2 million it made this weekend, which is good times for a horror movie in a non-Halloween time of year. How to Train Your Dragon was second at the box office. A little over $10 million made it so. Date Night was third. Backup Plan was fourth. Furry Vengeance, the hilarious comedy with Brendan Fraser, where he takes on a raccoon and a llama or something, only made $6.5 million at the box office.
And you're sure that's what that movie is? It's not a furry porn, right?
No, it is. Okay. It's about a land developer and the woodland creatures who attack him because they're
angry. They inhabit his butt.
No, they don't inhabit his butt. They're angry at him because he's tearing down the forest, and so they get together, the squirrels and the raccoons and the gophers, and they
that's
they,
a sketchy title.
They play pranks on him.
Does wackiness ensue?
It certainly does. The Losers was sixth. Clash of the Titans was seventh. Kick-Ass, Death at a Funeral, and Oceans, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to our buddy Seth Green and his actress girlfriend, Claire Grant. They got married this weekend.
How about that?
Very happened nice. Saturday afternoon up at George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch in Northern California. Seth knows George because of the Robot Chicken Star Wars episodes that he's produced, and they became friends, and George let him use his ranch for their wedding, which is nice.
Seth Green.
Oh, come on.
Don't you have to some point go, look, I know my life is different than I thought. I'm a TV star. I have my own series. But I'm having my wedding at George Lucas's estate. In what world does anyone have that ever?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
I don't know any of the details, but I'm hoping they walk through like an honor guard holding lightsabers and stuff. Yeah. You know, it would have been awesome.
Chewie is the best man.
Among the invited guests was Weird Al Yankovic, who tweeted yesterday, just watched my buddy Seth Green get married. Beautiful wedding. Much love to him and his lovely bride, Claire. Like a surgeon, he said. Claire, by the way, was one of the elite models with the Elite Model Agency before becoming an actress.
Oh.
So, good work there, Seth Green.
Seth Green.
Jeez. As I mentioned before, Seth and Claire both were so sweet when I was going through everything with my wife and our kids, and they sent over a deli platter the first time they heard about the news. They sent us and fed us all over there. And that's the kind of guy Seth Green is, so congratulations to those guys. Jay Leno was the host of the White House Correspondents Association dinner over the weekend. I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently he bombed.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, everyone was saying it was uncomfortable how unfunny he was. And what made things worse was Obama killed.
He got up as funnier than everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And made Jay Leno look even worse by comparison.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, everyone said that Jay Leno was doing, like, mother-in-law jokes about Michelle's mom moving into the White House and everything. And they said it was just hideous. So that was good.
They're offering Obama the Tonight Show?
Yeah, he's going to get the 10 o'clock. He's going to get the 10
o'clock. 10
o'clock. Slot over on NBC. We'll see what happens. Movie news. Warner Brothers announced over the weekend that Batman 3 will be out in 2012, we've got a release date for Batman 3.
All right, 2012. Let me get
Mark
my calendar
calendars.
Out.
No word yet on any other details. Christopher Nolan apparently is already on board to direct the sequel. But other than that, and Christian Bale, of course, will be returning as the Dark Knight. No word on who the villains will be or who will be starring in it, but everyone is very excited. Oh, I'm hoping for Killer Moth.
What?
Killer Moth would be a great villain.
Is that one of them?
Killer Moth, yeah.
That's real?
That's a real villain for Batman.
Like you're making
moth.
A joke.
No, the Killer Moth. All right, maybe he wouldn't be the best choice. Yeah. Maybe Tweedledum and Tweedledee, which are also Batman villains. So we'll have to wait and see.
And you're unbelievable, man. You're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian Bale. I like your work as well. Glee's on tonight. Everyone excited? Glee?
Yes.
Nope.
You know, since the Madonna episode of Glee, it has just been a guest star of Palooza over there on the set of Glee.
Right.
And tonight's episode has a very special guest star as well. Sue Sylvester, played by the hilarious Jane Lynch.
Who's great.
Who is great on the show, is doing a duet tonight.
She's singing.
She is singing and dancing with a pop icon from the 70s and 80s. Olivia Newton-John is stopping by Glee.
Is that right?
They knock out a duet to a little song you may recognize from long ago.
Sure you understand my point of view. We know each other mentally. You gotta know that you're bringing
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're not.
Let's get physical.
They're not relying on her voice.
Not too much. But and I misspoke. Tuesday night, of course, is Glee. Tuesday night, not tonight, but Tuesday night's episode. Olivia Newton-John and Sue Sylvester.
How about that?
Dancing and singing to Physical.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
It's another reason for Omar to hate this show, I guess.
I was going to say.
I forced him to pull the audio of that. They released it on the internet prior to the episode. I said, come on, don't you love this? He's like grumbling while he was doing it.
Unlike Madonna songs, that song does not hold up. That's never sounded
worse. No, it's done for comedy effect.
Right,
it's not really supposed to be like a musical hallmark.
Her character on that show is this, you know, head
right,
of the
she's like doing jazzercising to the Physical song, yes.
She thinks that's very hip.
Yes, exactly.
Without her, I would not watch that show.
Oh, yeah, she definitely puts it over
the top. Really does.
She is the straw that stirs the drink, as they say.
Yes.
But I think there's a lot of talent on
there. There is, I agree. I don't know that I'd watch, but...
But you need a bad guy. You need a villain. Yeah. It's well put together.
She's the best.
Today's celebrity birthdays, dancer Cheryl Burke of Dancing with the Stars is 26 years old today. She is currently...
dancing?
Yeah, among other things with Ocho Cinco.
Oh.
She is... dancing, let's say.
All right.
With air quotes. You can't really see him because it's radio, but he's dancing with Ocho Cinco these days. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Who Psycho Mike thinks is fat. She is 20.
Anything you want to add here, Mike? You okay with her?
35 years old today.
She should not have cake for her birthday. Wow.
There we go. Start it up again.
And it begins.
And Dave has down here on my birthdays. You know, the King of Mexico puts together a birthday list for
right.
me. Every year.
But you scream. Screening.
Not really. I just kind of read what he gives me,
right.
Which is always a mistake, because he's got down here that James Brown is celebrating his 77th birthday today.
Right. Maybe
sure.
He knows more than you do.
I don't know if they found the body yet, but I'm pretty sure that James Brown has since passed.
How's he feel?
Birthday. Not well.
No.
That's what I'm guessing. Oh, I feel good. That's what he is that what you're going for?
I feel bad is what I was thinking of. Yeah.
You missed, would you like to take that back last week, too, Kevin? Wow. It was spectacular.
We'll put that one in.
We might
start again.
Start a new file.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin Amin Show on a Monday. Actor Nathan Fillion from Castle and Firefly and so many other great things going to be joining us later on today. Ralph also, by the way, has a little something special in one of his showbiz beats coming up. He'll be giving tickets away to see Robin Hood before it opens.
Ooh.
With Russell Crowe. Which looks very, very good. So all that on the way from the Kevin Bean Show. You missed the announcement last week when you were out, Kevin, but the Ozzy Osbourne movie is happening. Now, here's a guy with a fascinating life. A lot of people they make movies about, you go, well, I don't really care about that guy.
Right.
This guy has an amazing life. I mean, he started off, you know, doing time in prison for burglary and was heavily involved in drugs, had all sorts of problems, really fought his demons his whole life. You know, he was involved in a whole bunch of controversial things like biting the head off a dove and peeing on the Alamo. And, you know, and then and just, I mean, the final chapter ending up with that huge reality show on MTV. I mean, the guy has just had an amazing life. Sharon Osbourne, of course, is the business person behind it, says they've already got a producer on board.
Sure.
They got all the financial backing they need. Now it's just a question of casting. And apparently everyone in Hollywood is coming out to try to play Ozzy Osbourne because it's such a juicy role. And last week we got a hold of some of the audition tapes from the people
fantastic.
Who are trying to be Ozzy. Because, you know, who knows? I mean, they might end up with an unknown, but it's very possible they could get, you know, somebody we're already familiar with to play Ozzy Osbourne. For instance, this first audition tape, who better to play a rock icon than another rock icon?
Gene Simmons for the part of Ozzy Osbourne. You could go whenever you're ready.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Ozzy Osbourne. I will be embarking on a solo career now that I'm no longer in Black Sabbath. I'm now going to put this bat's head in my mouth. After that, I would like you, young lady, to put mouth and rhythmically move your
Okay, Arnold.
I don't know if Gene could stick to the script, so maybe better not use him.
Yeah.
All right, here's a guy who hasn't done a lot of acting in recent years because he's been busy, being the governor of California, but soon he's got to start lining up other work.
Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger auditioning for Ozzy Osbourne. Whenever you're ready.
Ah, Sharon, look at this remote control. I can not even operate it. I'm so crazy rock and roller with, being confused from all the drug use.
I'm not sure about that. I don't see this, but God bless this guy for trying out anyway.
William Shatner auditioning for the part of Ozzy Osbourne.
Sharon, I... need to go on tour. We need to start our own concert festival. Ozfest!
All right. Next up in the auditions for the Ozzy Osbourne movie, here's a guy who already has a couple of all-time classic movie roles. He was Indiana Jones. He was Han Solo. Do you think he can pull it off?
Harrison Ford for Ozzy Osbourne.
Sharon, I
All right, the hottest young actor in Hollywood, of course, star of the Twilight movies. They're already talking about him for the Kurt Cobain film. Can he also play Ozzy?
Okay, Rob Pattinson for the part of Ozzy Osbourne. Whenever you're ready.
I am Iron Man. Is he live or dead?
Didn't learn the words to that song.
I know it's tough.
Wow.
You saw this next audition playing Dr. Jack Kevorkian on the HBO movie just a couple of weekends ago. Is he up to play another real life legend?
This is Al Pacino auditioning for the part of Ozzy Osbourne.
Ooh-ah! Sharon. My God, look how big Kelly is. She's huge.
All right, here's a guy who keeps claiming he's going to make it big in movies. Is Ozzy Osbourne going to be his breakout role?
Spencer Pratt for Ozzy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Ozzy. What's up, kid? How you doing, Chief? Yeah, my wife needs to lose weight. She's fat. Sharon's fat. Lose some weight because I'm a rock star. Yeah, hey, what's up, boss? All right, they do. Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Wow. I don't really see that happening. Here's a great Oscar-winning actor who's retired, but maybe this is the role to bring him back.
Sean Connery for the part of Ozzy Osbourne.
So, Sharon, look at me bite the head off of this dove. And then afterwards, I'm going to right in the...
Wow. Wow. I'm not sure that's the direction they want to go.
I don't know what the rating is going to be on that film if they give it to Sean Connery. All right. I told you they're interviewing basically everybody for this. They want to make sure they don't, they don't miss out on somebody who they might not see coming. For instance, this guy, as far as I know, not even an actor, but can he play Ozzy?
Manny Ramirez from the Dodgers? Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I love the show Small Wonder. Hey, who's got a sausage? I've got a horn.
He's in.
And you say that because you haven't heard the final audition for the Ozzy Osbourne movie. This guy's done a little bit of acting, but I think he could be perfect for the role.
Kevin Ryder auditioning for Ozzy Osbourne. Go ahead.
I just want to be ongoing on MTV. In our own personal life in the cameras on television. Long time friend me.
I hope you get it, man. Good luck.
Give him the breathalyzer.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, we talked to the guys in Lincoln Park last week about their new game app, the Lincoln Park game, where they have a new Lincoln Park song. Once you complete the game, once you get far enough into it, you will get a complete new song. It's the only place it's available is through their app. And you can get that on the iPad or the iPhone or wherever you want to play it. But that's a pretty interesting way to make a new song available to the fans, make them work for it, huh?
Or not available, yeah.
Or not available, yeah, right.
You got to figure out the clues, then you got to go to a corner and meet a dude. And
there is that.
He's going to give you the next clue, and then you got to go someplace else, and they'll give you the song eventually.
Get those details at LincolnPark.com. We got some Nirvana on the way, also the Dirty Heads featuring Rome. Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air 24 hours a day. It's our voicemail set up just for you at 323-520-AFRO.
Bean, stop fucking and stop on assault lodging.
Excuse me?
You heard her.
Okay.
Yeah, I just went on KevinandBean.com and saw a picture of Bean's Audi. I'm going to throw up.
That's not his car we're talking about.
Is that the growth that I've heard so much about?
The belly button. It started out as an Innie and over the years has become an Audi and now is even becoming more of an Audi. You can actually see it through my shirt now. It's like having a tail. It's like having a tail on your stomach.
But you love... You want a tail, so you.
I do want a tail. Yeah.
Are you going to have something done with the Audi?
I have to because I've heard terrifying stories about what happens if you don't get this treated. Is it really can do a lot of damage?
Maybe you're growing a boob. That'd be funny.
Out of my belly button,
a giant boob right there in his belly button.
That would be surprising.
The best. I have tried my best to keep up with Lost. I may not be the guy. To actually pull that off out of all the people that are trying, but...
Lost. Been singing all my life. I'll be singing to the day I die. Lost.
Amen, brother.
And then he called back.
No, really. Lost. It's gay. Lost is gay. Lost is gay.
How did they do it? Turned it right around.
He sure did.
Brilliant. This dude very upset that he can't participate, and then he realizes that, oh, wait a minute, a second.
All right, so I'm calling the asshole line, and I'm going to see an asshole on my head. Oh, wait. Oh, but I got an afro downstairs. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kevin and Bean. Oh, man. It's hot.
One of our many services.
Afro downstairs. I don't think that's hot, A. And don't thank us for it, please, B.
Holy crap. Kesha is taking over the freaking world. They're on The Simpsons tonight. I cannot believe it. Just shoot me now.
Yeah, I heard there was a tribute to Kesha on The Simpsons last night. I did not see that, nor do I want to.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't understand that at all, but who knows.
So I'm driving down the freeway. I catch one of these giant goddamn billboards for natural ice. It says, Natta boy, what people say to you when you bring natural ice beer to any party. You know what I say when somebody brings natural ice beer to my party? Get the f*** out of my house.
Even better.
But yeah, not on a billboard.
Better billboard? Better slogan. So we've had some run-ins with some of our listeners in the past, and they do things that are shaky, and we try to tell them at times. You know, a lot of times we encourage the badness, but there are times when we say, dude, listen, you don't want to do this. 5 years from now, you're going to look back, and you're going to say, this was a mistake.
Right.
And that's what category this guy falls into.
Well, my 25th birthday today. I'd be going to a bar later tonight. Get plastered out of my mind. Try and forget that fateful day almost 4 years ago. For some godforsaken reason, I got you guys tattooed on my leg. As you may have guessed, my life has spiraled out of control since then. Further and further down the Thanks for nothing.
Could have told
you. We tried to warn him at the time. That's Don't do it.
Don't thank us. That was all on you.
Yeah.
We did everything we could to talk that guy out of it.
He shoots. He scores. I love it when they call me Tom Papa.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Tom Papa hosted the marriage ref.
That was from last week. I take that back from Psycho
Mike.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I guess that's why this guy called them.
Psycho Mike, shut the f*** up. Who gave you the f*** right to go on Loveline and talk next to Dr. Drew Pinsky, the smartest guy ever, next to that guy in a wheelchair, and give advice to teenagers? Shut the f*** up. You your expensive vintage t-shirts and your flannels and sh*** put a trucker hat on, you'd be the Mexican Nashton Kutcher and you tool. Shut the up.
I agree with everything he just said.
I say that's a thumbs up. Right? That guy loves love
for Mike?
You're
yes,
doing
absolutely.
You're doing good work.
Yeah, all right.
Nicely. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:37.
Ralph Garman's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, then highlights of last night's 60-minute sit-down interview with Conan O'Brien, now finally legally allowed to talk about what happened to him. Not bitter, by the way. I guess they pay you $32 million to go away. You're not that bitter.
He's been that way the entire time, though, and I've been impressed by that. I don't care if he seems fine. Yeah, it seems to me like if I'm in that position and they pay me $100 million, I'll take it. I'll be happy with the money and still be bitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting to finally, after hearing so much speculation, to finally hear what Conan had to say about how everything went down in the late night wars. We've got that for you coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we got to talk about Miguel Olivo. He is a catcher for the Colorado Rockies. Had a phenomenal April, Kevin. He had 5 home runs, threw out 7 would-be base stealers, batted .291. More impressively than all of that, though, passed a kidney stone during a game and didn't miss a thing.
What?
Now, I've never had, thank God, knock on wood, I've never had a kidney stone. I have lots of friends who have, and they say it's the closest thing to the male equivalent of giving birth to a baby. And a woman goes through that. It is just unbelievably painful.
Yeah, the pain's on another level. That if you haven't had it, you can't experience it whatsoever. And this guy did it during a game.
Yes, that's right. While his team was at bat, he was in the bathroom passing a kidney stone, then went put on his catcher's gear and went right back out and started playing. Now, the friends that I've had, they say that the pain leading up to the passing is excruciating. Then the passing itself makes you practically vomit. And then it takes, you know, hours or days to come back from it. Yet this guy did it all in the course of a game.
What's he doing playing baseball?
God.
He should be stepping up to a real sport.
It's pretty shocking, but we thought we'd find out direct from Mr. Olivo himself. We've got him on the phone from the Colorado Rockies right now, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Miguel. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we're fine, and we're very, very impressed not only with your tremendous April, but with the fact that you were able to pass a kidney stone during a game.
I love baseball very much.
Right.
And I am what guys call a tough guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, don't need no kidney stone to play baseball.
Right, but
got rid of it, went right back to the plate.
Right, but most people end up in the hospital for a couple of days, and then they pass it, and then there's like a day or two of recovery.
Most people are weak.
It's true.
What
are you doing?
What's going on, Miguel? What's happening?
I'm removing my appendix.
You're what?
You're removing your appendix right now while you're on the phone with us?
Yes.
Well, don't. Do you have to on your own?
I don't need my appendix to play baseball.
Right.
Okay, but do you at least have a doctor assisting you?
I don't need no doctor.
Okay.
I have a scalpel. Continue the conversation.
Okay, all right. Okay, but don't feel the need to do any self-surgery to impress us. We're already impressed with what you did during the game the other day.
What was that?
What was that?
Someone just shot me with a machine gun.
What?
Well, do you need to get off the phone? Do you need to go?
No, I think I'm good.
What?
Did you?
That doesn't sound good.
That sounds terrible.
I was just engulfed in flames.
Wow, really? And
yes.
You're fine?
I'll be okay.
Okay.
Flames
what the hell
again?
Is that?
A gas leak somewhere in my apartment.
Well, shouldn't you step away from all this danger, maybe?
A whole lot of flames.
No.
What is that?
I'm doing some dentistry. Root canal
don't
on my throat.
Don't do a root canal on
yourself.
I'm doing
a root canal on my throat.
Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you go to a dentist, let a professional do it with anesthesia?
Dentists are for the weak.
Wow. Okay, you need to slow down. You're eventually... Uh-oh.
Is that a train?
How is there a train in your apartment? Miguel?
All right, that one's going to leave a mark.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, what did you think of the fight, by the way? How much you were very much looking forward to it at the end of last week? Did it live up to your expectations?
Like the first two rounds.
First two rounds were great, weren't they?
Yeah.
I didn't see the fight, but the buzz on Twitter is that it was super boring. Super boring fight.
No, it was not as bad as a lot of pay-per-view fights I've seen. It was a pretty good fight, but it really looked like it was going to be a very close fight the first couple rounds, and then Mayweather just took over, and Shane looked like a 38-year-old guy.
He looked like an old guy.
He started to get gassed. The problem was he was so nervous. And so jumpy, which is odd for a veteran fighter like himself to get caught up in the anxiety and the excitement of the moment, that he was bouncing all over the place in the first three or four rounds, and he expended so much energy that he was gassed by the middle of the fight, and that's when Mayweather just took over.
Mayweather is just a natural talent, too. I mean,
he has got amazing skill, but he's also incredibly conditioned.
Yeah.
And that is the other key for him, is that he doesn't tire. And whatever style fight you want to fight, he can match you because he's got great skills, but he's also an amazing athlete.
All the talk has been he and Pacquiao. Is it going to happen? Yeah. He's claiming that they need to be tested at Olympic levels.
Right.
What do you think? Are they going to end up getting together on that? Or
I don't see how either side cannot take that fight.
That's what I think.
Because of the money.
Yeah, because of the money, and also because it's the only fight out there. Pacquiao really has mowed his way through all of the major contenders, and Mayweather, up until recently, I mean, Mosley was sort of the fight that everyone was predicting would give him the most challenge, and he handled him pretty readily. He can't take a lesser opponent now after the Mosley fight. He's going to look like he's a coward. He has to fight the best out there in order to prove his contention, which is that he's the best.
Right.
He's going to have to take on a caliber, an athlete of a similar caliber. And really, Pacquiao's the only guy out there.
I got the fight, which is $64.95.
It is indeed.
And I sat down
in
to watch
HD,
it. I'd recorded it. I sat down to watch it. And they were just starting to ring the bell. Ding, ding. Very beginning of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend walked downstairs and went, "Oh, I can't believe Mayweather won."
Oh!
And I was like, I was just going to put...
I hope
some
you
of the fun out of watching it, doesn't it?
I hope you worked your jab to that guy's jaw. It was so unbelievable. I was like, can
That's
you
unacceptable.
See? Look at the TV. They're just starting.
Dude, he should have paid you for that fight.
Did you watch the undercard, though, Kevin?
I watched, I fast-forwarded through some of them.
Did you see this 19-year-old kid,
yes.
Saul Alvarez?
Yes.
He is...
He's 19, but he looks 16.
He's remarkable. He is an enormous boxing talent. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of him. And he is the whitest Mexican in the world.
He's Mexican?
Yes. Saul Alvarez. That's his name. But he...
Saul
Alvarez. And he is redheaded, freckled. Oh. No one looks more Irish than Saul Alvarez.
He's a ginger.
Wow. He is a total ginger. He's a ginger. And he is a super... super talented fighter, and I just can't wait to see more of that.
I saw him get the hell beat down of him at the beginning, but then he just
came back
it,
and rocked that
just
guy.
Took it and came back.
He's got a jaw like granite. It was really impressive.
How about that?
Yeah, good stuff.
All right, we got to move on to some showbiz, and then we got Conan's interview from 60 Minutes last night coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. What else is going on, Ralph?
Before I get to showbiz, I've got some tickets to give away to the very special advanced screening of Robin Hood, a movie I can't wait to see.
Looks so good.
It looks awesome.
I'm glad they're going dark. Serious like that way with it. I love that.
Russell Crowe stars as the legendary outlaw. And Ridley Scott, his director from Gladiator, is helming this film. And it looks a lot like Gladiator. It's got that tone to it. Cate Blanchett plays Maid Marian. Just looks like an awesome version of this legendary character. It's going to be at the Arclight in Sherman Oaks, California. That's where our screening is going to be. You get to see it before anyone else. The movie opens on the 14th. But if you'd like to go... I've got passes to give away. I've got five pairs of passes to give away, but I want to give a little trivia question, make it interesting, and make sure that real fans get to go. Robin Hood, by the way, has been filmed either on television or in the movies. The character, there are over 50 different versions of Robin
Hood.
Wow. It is one of the most filmed characters in history. The first one being 1908. A silent movie was made about Robin Hood for the first time. All you have to do is give me the name of three major movie stars who have played Robin Hood over the years. That's all. There's dozens of them. But three big stars who have played Robin Hood over the years.
Right.
Russell Crowe, obviously not one of them. But if you have three other actors, you can give me 1-800-520-1067. Come up with the answer. If you're one of the first five callers with the correct answers, you get a pair of passes to attend Robin Hood. All right, let's talk about movies over the weekend. Top 10 movies at the box office. A Nightmare on Elm Street was number one, $32.2 million. Freddy Krueger's back.
Hard to believe.
How to Train Your Dragon was number two. Date Night was third. The Backup Plan was fourth. Furry Vengeance came in at five. The Losers was six. Clash of the Titans, Kick-Ass, Death at a Funeral, and Oceans rounding out your top ten at the box office. Congratulations to our buddy Seth Green. He and actress Claire Grant got married over the weekend up at George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch.
Do you take her to be your wife?
And apparently he did. Lance Armstrong's girlfriend, Anna Hansen, is pregnant. This will be Lance Armstrong's fifth child.
Really?
He has three children with his ex-wife, Kristen, one other with his girlfriend, Hansen, and then another one on the way. Not bad for a guy with one ball,
no
I would
kidding.
Say.
True.
He gets it done with half the amount of equipment that the rest of us do, so congratulations, Lance.
Nice sausage.
Well, yeah.
Easy.
That's good news, too. Another relationship, however, in show business is breaking up. Halle Berry and her male model boyfriend, baby daddy, Gabriel Aubrey, apparently are calling it quits after 5 years together. They have a 2-year-old daughter named Nala. And,
Nala.
She was in The Lion King, wasn't she? One of the lion cubs in that movie? Apparently, the split happened a couple months ago. Now they're just making it public. They've worked out a temporary custody and financial arrangement. And,
It's good news for women everywhere to see that not even Halle Berry can keep a man, though, right?
Yeah, I think this proves that she is just impossible to live with.
She doesn't have a lot of luck.
No, she doesn't. But I feel bad. I got a 2-year-old daughter, and now dad's going to be male modeling someplace, and she don't know where he is and stuff. So that's kind of sad news. But what are you going to do, huh? Ridley Scott. We were just talking about him. He, of course, is the director for Robin Hood, has announced there is going to be a prequel of the film Alien.
A prequel to Alien.
Prequel to Alien. You remember Alien with Sigourney Weaver, of course. They were all trapped on that space station, and the alien got on board, and then the baby alien came out of Bean's belly button. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's hideous. Anyway, Ridley Scott wants to do a prequel about 30 years before the Sigourney Weaver character, Ellen Ripley, ran into the alien, and he said, no surprise, it'll be in 3D. Of course. That to look forward to. And speaking of sequels and prequels, Bill Murray has said regarding Ghostbuster 3 that he would only appear in it if they killed him off.
All right.
He has changed his opinion. He said he'd be happy to do Ghostbusters 3. The only problem is that he hasn't seen a script yet.
There is that.
They've been talking about it for a long time, and Dan Aykroyd has said many times he's working on a script, but no one really has seen a finished product.
He's the guy that wrote the original one. Right?
He wrote it along with Harold Ramis. Yeah. I believe the two of them wrote it together, yeah. And Bill said, it's just a myth. It's like the white alligator in the sewer, you know? Who's seen it, really? So he said as soon as he reads a script, he'll be happy to sign on if he possibly can, because he had a good time making the first two. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Yeah. All right. You didn't seem so sure about that, Kevin.
Let's go to James. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good, James. Can you name me three big movie stars who have played Robin Hood before in the past 100 years?
Yeah, no problem, man. We got Carrie Underwood, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Men in Tights, that's right.
Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm. Prince of Thieves.
Robin Hood, and Errol Flynn, one of the classic greats.
That's the classic one right there. Errol Flynn, the 1938 version of The Adventures of Robin Hood. Congratulations. Thank you so much. You're going to go see the advanced screening of the new version with Russell Crowe, Robin Hood.
Awesome.
Hold on, we'll give you all the details. Other actors who have played Robin Hood, by the way, Douglas Fairbanks, John Derrick, Richard Green, Sean Connery famously played him in Robin and Marian.
That's right.
That's right.
John Cleese played him in Time Bandits. Patrick Bergen played him in Robin Hood. So, a lot of good actors. Today's celebrity
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Wow. That is late. Since timing, we already talked
late?
To the
oh,
winner.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer James Brown, who's apparently 77 years old today. That's what Dave the King of Mexico tells me. So I'm glad he's feeling better, because last I heard he wasn't doing so well.
Do we know where he is? Or is he still
his
on the move?
Body is in a refrigerator, I think now in an elementary school, in the cafeteria. I think that's where they found him.
That's one of the most. That's the strangest story ever.
One of our favorite ladies around here, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, is 35 years old today. Dancer Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 26 years old. And actor Dulé Hill from West Wing and also Psych over on USA, he's 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Saturday was May 1st. By the way, huge immigration rallies. We had Kevin and Bean microphones down there. We've got some highlights of that for you coming up in about 20 minutes. May 1st was also the date that Conan O'Brien was first legally allowed to give his first interview. He had a clause in his contract when he left NBC that he was not allowed to talk to anybody on television until May 1st. And 60 Minutes snagged the first interview. They taped him late last week. It aired last night. Kevin, you get a chance to see it?
I did not, know.
It had the Steve Croft, who does an excellent job on 60 Minutes, it had the strangest first question I've ever seen on a 60 Minutes interview.
So, what's with the beard?
I mean, you don't see a lot of, except for that Osama bin Laden sit down. That was the last time I think what's with the beard was the first question. But it started off, it looked like it was going to be a very short interview.
So, what's with the beard?
The first day that I woke up and was no longer the host of Tonight Show, I remember the first thought I had is, I am not shaving. And, that was my small victory, you know. Okay, so I lost the Tonight Show, but I'll show them. I'll stop shaving.
This has been quite a year.
Yeah.
Like
that's
questions.
It. We're done. This was a lot of fun.
That's it. We're done. A lot of fun. I thought, well, that was a short interview. I didn't get as much out of that as I hoped I could.
Why is he not asking questions?
He is asking questions. Oh. But, I mean, I think his setup was... Wow, look at where we are. You know, this has been quite a year for you. And he kind of expected Conan to expand on that.
Sure.
He did not so much. All right, what are the rubs? Yeah, Conan was able to talk last night. He's legally allowed to be on television talking. And, of course, he's got a TBS show coming this winter. But he still has a no disparagement deal that he has to abide by. In other words, he can give interviews, but he can't really run down NBC. So he has to be very careful with the way he answers some of these questions. And they're getting into the disparagement aspect of that arrangement now.
Anytime people come up to me, hey, so what's the deal with Jay Leno? Hold on a second. He's a fine and good man. There we go. Put that away.
Can I assume that this interview would take a different tenor if that agreement did not exist?
No, I don't think it would. The biggest thing people come up and say to me... In gas stations and restaurants, I have so many people say this to me. Hey, partner, you got screwed. And I always tell them, no, I didn't. I didn't get screwed. I'm fine. It just didn't work out.
Well, you did get screwed.
Do you guys? I think he got screwed. Don't you guys think he got screwed?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But for whatever reason, he either doesn't think that or won't say that he got screwed. So you heard Steve Croft, the interviewer on 60 Minutes last night, said you did get screwed.
You think I got screwed?
Well, I think most people think you got screwed. I mean, Jay Leno thinks you got screwed. Jay Leno thinks he got screwed.
How did
what
get screwed? Explain that part to me. I'm sorry. Jay's got the Tonight Show. I have a beard and inflatable bat, and I'm touring city to city. Who can say who won and who lost? I'm laughing because crying would be sad.
Oh, that's so sad. Now, obviously, Jay Leno is the topic on everyone's mind. He certainly came out to most of us looking like the villain. And Conan's got to be very careful what he's talking about Jay Leno here. And here is what he was willing to say about Jay Leno on 60 Minutes last night.
Do you think that Jay lobbied for this?
I don't know, but what I know is what happened, which is that he went and took that show back.
Do you believe he acted honorably during all of this?
He sits back and his little wheels are turning in his head. How do you answer a question like that?
He can't answer it honestly, which is, right? I mean, that's what he can't say.
I mean, I think that's what he's afraid of is, are you now disparaging NBC if you say, I don't believe Jay Leno acted honorably? So let's see what he came up with.
I don't think I can answer that. I don't think...
He's struggling here.
Yeah.
I can just tell you maybe how I would have handled it. And I would do it differently.
You wouldn't have come back on The Tonight Show.
If I had surrendered The Tonight Show and handed it over to somebody publicly and wished them well, and then I would not have come back six months later. But that's me, you know. Everyone's got their own, you know, way of doing things.
Has Jay reached out to you?
No.
No calls?
No, I do not think I'll be hearing from him.
That surprised me, by the way.
Why?
Because Jay Leno, look, he may have been a shrewd businessman and made himself look bad by the way he handled the business end of this. He wanted that job. He didn't want to leave when he was number one. He wanted that job. He took that job. That's business. But by all accounts, personally, he's a very, very nice man. And I'm really surprised that he didn't take the time to call and go, and say just that. Look, it's just business. I'm sorry, Conan. I love you. I wish you the best, but this is something I got to do.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Or was he too embarrassed to do that or what?
I don't know. My opinion of Jay Leno changed when Letterman started talking about him. When Letterman said, this is the real Jay, and now now finally people are starting to realize. To me, that meant Jay Leno's not the nice guy we all think he is.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
So I don't know.
Maybe not. One more clip from last night's 60 Minutes, though, and this is kind of in conclusion. If there's anything that Conan wants you to take away from seeing this interview, he's got some thoughts.
You got $30 million that you didn't have before. You got a very lucrative new gig on TBS, which has an audience that...
very young audience.
Custom made for you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all bad.
That's the point I keep making. It's crucial to me that anyone seeing this take thing away from this. It's, I'm fine. I'm doing great. I hope people still find me comedically absurd and ridiculous. and I don't regret anything. I do believe, and this might be my Catholic upbringing or Irish magical thinking, but I think things happen for a reason. I really do.
I thought the Lutherans believed that.
Oh, my God, it is Lutherans. Okay. I believe that if I experience any joy in life, I'll go to hell. That's what I believe.
So there's your Conan from 60 Minutes. And again, he's very much looking forward to the TBS show that debuts later this year. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, highlights of an interview with Extra TV that aired on Friday with a man claiming to be Michael Jackson's last lover. Be interesting to hear what he has to say. That's coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, This past Saturday was the annual May Day rally. Every year on May 1st, there is a rally around all over the country. Los Angeles has a big one. New York. This year, it really took off. Washington, D.C., tens of thousands of people. Phoenix, of course, tens of thousands of people. Psycho Mike, you were down at the Los Angeles rally, and it was largely, I guess the discussion this year was largely the new proposed law in Arizona that allows the police to start checking for immigration status. That's what was on everyone's mind this week.
Certainly, what's going on in Arizona brought out a lot more people and made it much more dramatic event,
right?
And, you know, people were very passionate about coming out and showing up, and because of that, when I went out there, I was expecting it to be really militant, and it wasn't. I was so surprised, and I was pleased that it. First off, it wasn't exclusively Hispanic event, which the May Day rallies typically are. There was a lot of Koreans, Filipinos, and a bunch of different cultures, and also there was a couple hundred different.
How many?
Couple hundred different flags from other countries.
Right.
But there was tens of thousands of American flags.
Wow.
Which was really cool. And overall, I was really, like I said, I was delightfully surprised at how peaceful and how positive the whole event was.
So. Now, two questions. One is, did you get to be a part of any Si Se Puede chants at all? Because I know you love those.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, good. let's wait and hear the tape. But yeah, I mean, that was I was so geeked to be a part of a collective chant with me and my people.
Okay. And second of all, speaking of you and your people, Psycho Mike's a half breed, and he can bring the white or he can bring the Rudy. So which were you bringing on Saturday?
Well, I mean, we've discussed this before. I like to only use my Hispanic half when it benefits me.
Sure.
So
okay.
This was one of those days. And
hey, why do you think you're working here, man? Yeah, believe
me. I'm usually whitewashed, and I admit that. But if I'm applying to, say, get into college or, yeah, like you said, get a job, or if I'm going to a rally with 10,000 other Hispanic folk, I'm going to pretend, really play that card.
Believe
up.
Me, Mike gets pretty Mexican every time we threaten to fire him. I'll tell you that. Oh, you can't fire the brown man. What are you talking about?
I'm going to sue you for everything.
All right. So what do we need to know before we hear this tape that you captured on Saturday for us?
This is just it's a collection of people that I talked to down there at the May Day rally in downtown L.A.
Now, why are you here?
Because I feel that the immigration bill and how they're treating us Hispanics is really degrading. And being an American citizen, I don't want to just be seen as a second-class citizen. I'm here to support my people and my culture.
I'll die for my people!
We're really not the race that we should be looking at to kick out, right? If anything, we should kick out the Asians. Would you be in agreement that we should just start killing whitey?
No.
No, no, you don't think that that's a little too extreme?
No, that's not the solution.
We're all here together. This really affects everyone, not just undocumented immigrants, but anybody of color, anybody who just dresses a certain way or looks a certain way. The Arizona law is wrong.
Viva la raza! I'm a Mexican. I'm a Chicano. Chicano power.
What are you doing today?
We're just protesting against the Arizona law that they just passed, which is the SB 1070. Yeah. And it's basically they're just racial profiling and just stereotyping people. They're pretty much they have the right to ask someone like they go up to them and ask them for documentation just by the way they look. And then when you think about it, it's kind of going back to I don't know. Let's say Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
How the Jewish had to wear their gold stars everywhere they went. And then to us, I think that's just really discriminating. And just because the majority of Arizona believes in that, that's not the Constitution. That's an unjust law. And that's something that should have never been passed.
Que nos oigan en Washington, cuando? Today we are marching because Congress and our president have failed to deliver immigration reform.
What do you say we all just band together and start killing whitey?
No, I disagree with that.
Oh.
This land is my land. This land is mine. I'm a Chicano. Viva la raza.
The French.
I agree. The French.
Para apoyar a todos los inmigrantes que no tenemos papeles aquí, yo soy uno de ellos. Nomás venimos a trabajar.
If you had one message collectively as a whole to give to the governor of Arizona, what would it be?
Can I sit
him in your ass, mother?
Viva la raza!
Are you happy with the turnout today and what you've seen go on today?
I think it's great to see so many people come out and be united against the Arizona laws that have been passed, not just the SB 1070, but against ethnic studies, against teachers that have an accent to teach English. That's just ridiculous. And I think that the United States and all the people that have supported the law in Arizona need to learn their history and know that Arizona was once Mexican territory. And so the people living there are the indigenous indigenous people of that land, and they need to know that.
My name is Calibas. I didn't take my medicine. I'm bipolar. I'll break your goddamn windows.
What just happened?
Well done, Mike, but a little less on inciting kill Whitey. A little less on that for my taste.
I like it. No, you guys don't understand. For me, this is a call for blood.
Here's what I like. I like that they're all down there peaceful, and then Mike shows up, and he's trying to stir it up. Let's beat someone up.
Remember the Alamo!
Blink 182 on the way. Also, Cage the Elephant, and just for you, Lisa, 3 Days Grace. That's coming up here on the Kevin Devine Show. By the way, Nathan Fillion coming in later on the program. How about that from Castle?
He's so good.
He's such a great actor. All right. Extra had a story on Friday, an exclusive interview with a guy who claims to be Michael Jackson's last lover. Now, I kind of don't believe this story because they buried it on the program. It was 20 minutes into Friday's show. Now, if you've got a guy who claims that he had sex with Michael Jackson, don't you start with that? Isn't that big news?
You would think,
yeah.
To me, it seems like maybe not so credible, but here's a little bit of the tape and the interview, and let's see what you think, and then we'll talk to Mike himself.
He claims he was the king of pop's very last lover.
I was Michael Jackson's boyfriend.
A secret he's now ready to share with the world.
He was very passionate. He was very sexual.
Jason Pfeiffer making stunning claims of an affair that lasted for months.
We definitely hit it off the first time we met.
That was 2008 at the office of Michael's dermatologist. Jackson was a patient, Jason an employee.
We were talking about our childhoods, and he was relating different stories about what happened when he was a kid. I have some estrangement from certain members of my family as well. We were just sitting there, and we both started to cry. And I got up and went over to him. I said, you know, it's going to be okay, Michael. And we hugged, and it was kind of then that the hug was a little bit more. Yeah. I was immediately attracted to him. It wasn't until a few months later it was obvious that he had feelings for me as well.
Lisa, didn't you point out last week that it seemed like all of his hot action came from visiting the dermatologist?
That seems to be where he met everyone.
I like that.
Yeah.
That was his headquarters.
I think that's just where he spent all his time.
So we are, if I could find the right sound effect here, so we are lucky in that we have a setup, an opportunity to talk to Michael Jackson himself. Let's fire up the hotline to heaven and see if we can get his comment on this new shocking story, courtesy of Extra TV. Hey, Mikey.
Dabo!
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm in heaven.
Right?
Yes. True.
Heaven is awesome.
It is. It's hard not to do well here.
Yeah.
Because things are nice in heaven.
Right.
What I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, again, we don't know how much you get the opportunity to follow the news down here on Earth, but a lot of people are talking about this fat ass that's come forward and claims that you guys had a sexual relationship.
I heard you playing that piece of tape from, what was it, Extra?
Extra Television, right.
And it's just ridiculous. It is. It's so ridiculous
we didn't know.
The press makes up these stories, just lies, just to make me look bad. And first of all, the guy said he was immediately attracted to me.
Right.
Really? Did you see me when I was on Earth?
That's a good point.
Come on. Who's becoming immediately attracted to me?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about
that. You didn't look good at the end.
I did not look good.
No. So you recognize that. So he said it was an instant attraction. Then you hugged. You were talking about your childhood, and you hugged.
Yes.
And the hug went on a little long, Michael.
I don't linger when I hug. Well,
apparently you do.
You know, kids. But when it comes to adults, I am a quick hugger.
Okay.
And I am not, I do not like sex with men. I am not, that is not what I'm into.
Uh-huh.
I'm just. Oh, wait, this is my favorite song. Hold on.
You're into Culture Club, though?
Oh, I love that song. I have one on my jukebox here in heaven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I was saying, everybody gets a jukebox in heaven. Didn't
you don't
I
have
you
to
that?
Pay for it, I hope.
Didn't know that.
No, it's all the songs you want.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. But you're not gay. That's the point
That's
here.
The
not
point
that there's
I'm
anything wrong with that,
is.
but you were never
no
gay. You're married to women.
I have anything remotely effeminate or homosexual in any way. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But
okay.
I love the ladies. Yes.
What now, Michael?
Oh, sorry. It's almost time for my jazzercise class.
You have a jazzercise class in heaven?
Yeah. It's great because you stay in great shape, which is good because it takes a lot of work to be in heaven.
Oh, I wouldn't think that you would have to stay in great shape in heaven because you don't really have a physical form. There's no body anymore, is my understanding.
Oh, so you're the expert on heaven now.
Well, you know more about it than I do.
No, you go. No, if you know so much about heaven, you tell me.
No,
what
my
it's
understanding
like.
Was that you don't have a physical body
oh,
anymore.
Oh, is that which, your understanding?
Yes, that's
oh,
what I thought
very
from the Bible.
Well, maybe we'll see what happens when you're dead.
I guess I'm wrong.
Then.
But the point is. Well, why are you listening to the Village People?
Because I'm gay.
You weren't gay.
I'm gay.
Your point was you're not gay, though.
I just am.
Just let's get it out there.
What? Oh,
all right.
That feels so much better. Woo! Get out!
106.7.
Hey!
My song. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 7:48.
So it was crazy. We're at this party, and I guess I got drunk, and I passed out. And I woke up, and my friends had put a live eel up my butt.
No, that wasn't
oh,
you.
Was wasn't that you. Terrible? Man, was that a bad surprise.
I wish it was you, but it wasn't.
That was a dude who died.
We will tell you that tragic story and hear from you about things that your quote-unquote friends have done to you while you were passed out, or maybe even more humorously, things that you've done to your friends. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Meade Show. Right now, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Remember when we rode on Money, our sports guy's face, and his wife was not too pleased with
him? Yeah, she didn't like that. But look, you have to do that. I mean, you don't have an option. It's law. Hey, it's science.
Here's the solution problem. Don't pass out.
Right.
Know how much you can drink.
If you pass out in front of your friends, you're asking for it.
That's right.
Someone drew a penis on his head, right? That's what it was, right?
That and a mustache and words. Right. There was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah. He used a whole Sharpie up that night,
don't
if I recall.
Don't pass out. That's what the moral of the story is.
Right.
All right. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do this every Monday morning during the Showbiz Beat. Nightmare on Elm Street, the reboot. $32.2 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. A lot of people rushed to see how the new take on their favorite old franchise was, and by all accounts, it was real good.
Well, it is the Halloween season. I mean, that's what we do.
It's not, not really. It's just May. How to Train Your Dragon was second at the box office. Date Night, The Backup Plan, Furry Vengeance made up the top five. Then The Losers, Clash of the Titans, Kick-Ass, Death at a Funeral, and Oceans.
I wouldn't call them The Losers just because they're in the bottom.
That's the name of the film.
Part of it.
File.
Thank you.
Really?
Absolutely file.
Really?
Thank you.
Dude, that's not even trying.
Thank you. Ozfest is coming back this summer. Sharon! After a year off, Heavy Metal Show returns for six shows, kicking off on August 14th in San Bernardino, California. San Berdu, as they call it.
Yep.
Ozzy Osbourne will be on the lineup, as well as Motley Crue, Rob Halford of Judas Priest, with his solo band, Black Label Society, and nine other acts. Ozfest hit Chicago, Pittsburgh, Hartford, Connecticut, Camden, New Jersey, and Boston, Massachusetts this summer.
This is just me, but if I have the choice, if I'm Ozzy and I can choose where to go, I don't go to San Bernardino. Ever.
I don't go to Camden, New Jersey either, by the way. If I'm
hey, you know where your fans are, though, if you're trying to sell tickets, Kevin.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but Camden, New Jersey is across the river from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Why not go to Philadelphia?
Yeah. I think I heard that this is the first time Motley Crue has ever been on an Ozfest. So that's a pretty exciting booking.
I can't recall them ever playing the bill, but they're a little glammy.
They're not the same
lineup, you know, but I'm sure they'll
look.
Go
they needed a big name, obviously, because they've got a Black Label Society and Rob Halford solo act.
Right.
I think they need a little juice.
Sure.
So the crew is a good get for them. Maybe Poison will come. Maybe Brett Michael will wheel him out of his hospital bed and prop him up and make him sing. They're talking about making him sing by the end of the month.
Really?
Poison needs to get back on the road. They want him to get out of his hemorrhage bed.
Wow.
Hemorrhage bed, by the way, is opening for them bed. When they're on the tour. And they're also talking about propping him up for the 23rd of May for the live Celebrity Apprentice finale. They were trying to get him out of bed to go to that.
Oh, my
it's like,
God.
Let the guy rest. His brain is bleeding.
What's going on with these people?
Kevin, you missed last week. Bean speculated that the aneurysm was brought on because he wears bandanas all the time, and then he might not get good circulation to the top of his head.
He's put a lot of pressure on his head all the 24/7.
That was a joke.
No.
No, I was being serious. Because
Bean is not a doctor.
Wait, that was not a joke?
Look, he's trying to cover his hairline, and he wears a bandana the time. I'm thinking maybe the pressure on his skull might have had something to do with the aneurysm.
And I reiterate, it's a theory. It's a bandana, not a tourniquet.
How tight?
He's not tightening up to the point where there's no blood flow to his scalp.
All right, let me put it another way. I don't wear a bandana. I've never had a brain aneurysm. Okay? Yeah.
But look how effed up you are in every other way.
I'm just saying.
If you could trade off aneurysm for herniated belly button and spina bifida and Asperger's and all the other conditions, it would be a good trade for you.
Look, I watch House, and I know that sometimes you have to think a little bit outside the box. Maybe it's not the most obvious problem that causes...
I watch Fringe, too, but that doesn't make me think that...
That's spectacular.
Wait, you're telling me you don't wear bandanas when you ride on your Harley or go out to kick some ass as a bouncer?
Can you see Bean in a bandana? It'd be awesome.
And I've never had a brain aneurysm, so there. So there, suck it, Brett Michaels.
There's your anecdotal evidence right there. Proof. Heather Mills, Paul McCartney's ex-wife, is uniformly despised in her homeland of England. That's not even a joke.
Not a joke yet.
Just a story. And now, more so than ever. Apparently, recently, Heart FM in Sussex, England, there was holding a contest where people had to call in for Whitney Houston concert tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they answered the phone, and the winner said her name was Heather. And she said, oh, I'm so excited. I can take my girlfriend. I'm really excited. And then they realized it was Heather Mills McCartney.
It really was?
She was calling in
to win tickets. After she received a $37 million settlement from Paul McCartney, she was calling in the radio station to win free tickets for a Whitney Houston concert.
Really?
Yes. Later she tweeted, Whitney Houston sold out, called Heart FM for a laugh and tried to win tickets for my friend and won. I am so happy.
What?
Once that story broke in England, now they really hate her. She could easily buy some tickets if she wanted.
Of course.
Some free tickets to someone else. I haven't done one.
Oh, I just assumed Heather Mills.
Haven't done one prosthetic joke. That's all.
We'll get to it. We got a lot of rim shots. I know. To be played.
Ralph, do you suspect she lost her leg from wearing bandanas around the top of the
knee? She used to wear bandanas around her knee, and that's why she lost her leg. I know that I never wore a bandana on my knee, and I have both legs.
Exactly. Excellent. You've made my point for me, Ralph.
Lindsay Lohan's raising eyebrows once again. She did a photo shoot last week, and according to sources on the set, it consisted of her in her underwear in high heels holding a 45 automatic gun covered in blood.
Oh, good. Good.
Apparently, Lindsay tweeted that people were concerned she was doing softcore porn. She says, it's not. It's art. You know, there was a guy with no arms and no legs once. He used to hang on a wall. They called him Art.
Yeah. Sounds like Lindsay's flash forward, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. She saw herself on the ground in blood holding a gun.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian hated her boobs as a young girl.
She what? She hated them?
Hated them. She tells Us Weekly magazine that when she was 11 years old, she was wearing a C-cup bra.
Yeah, I can imagine why she would hate that. God.
No, Lisa, you're wrong. She shouldn't have loved it. She shouldn't have hated it. She should have loved it.
At 11, no girl wants that attention.
Well, that's too bad.
She grew into it. You can be happy for her now.
She used to pray to God at night not to let her boobs grow anymore when she was 11 years old.
Oh, I'm so glad he didn't listen.
That's how you know God is smart. Because he made them keep growing. John Gosselin has turned down an invitation to be on Dancing with the Stars next season.
Please.
Us Weekly magazine reports he was offered $500,000 to compete in the next season of Dancing with the Stars.
You believe any of this?
I did until I read he turned it down because he said his kids suffered when his mom did it.
Yeah.
I don't see him as being that concerned being that concerned about his 8 kids, quite frankly. Or else he'd be somewhere near them raising them instead of Vegas. But that's the story. They offered, and he said no.
All right.
And did you hear about this dude here in Los Angeles that they're comparing to Jason Bourne?
No.
Cops in Los Angeles are on the lookout for a mystery man, they're calling, who works and operates under several different identities.
Rad.
Cops are comparing him to Jason Bourne, Matt Damon's character from The Bourne Identity. Cops said when they raided his apartment, they found high-tech weapons, several fake IDs, and loads of cash.
Wow.
As they entered the
building, what's that all about?
As they entered the building, he made a daring escape through the back window.
Really?
Is he being accused of any crimes or anything?
I don't know exactly why the police are looking for him.
Wow.
It doesn't say here in this story, but they say the guy has multiple passports lying around.
Huh.
Many of the identities, according to the Los Angeles police, the Duke of Tarzana, the King of the Valley, and the Vanilla Gorilla, apparently, was another one of his identities.
I wonder who that could be. Yeah, that's so that weird.
That is odd.
Casting news, you know, Diana Agron from Glee, she plays Quinn Fabre, the cheerleader, head cheerleader on that show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cheerleader. She just picked up the female lead in a movie called I Am Number 4, a comedy about a bunch of aliens who come to Earth to hide out from an enemy who destroyed their planet. Some of them disguise themselves as high schoolers and, as you can imagine, falls in love with an Earthling.
Sure.
Sounds hilarious. And speaking of Glee, since the Madonna episode, Glee has been adding more and more special musical guest stars. This Tuesday, apparently, is going to be Olivia Newton-John.
Crikey!
Who will be performing a duet with Sue Sylvester, hilariously played by Jane Lynch. Apparently, Sue Sylvester has a jazzercise routine to the song Physical. And someone puts a video of her doing it up on YouTube, much to her embarrassment.
Awesome.
But then Olivia Newton-John reaches out to her, and they decide to do a video together. They do a duet of Physical. So here's a little taste of what you can see Tuesday night on Glee. I'm sure you
I got to tell you, if you don't watch that show, I can understand that because it's not for everybody. But yeah, she is great.
She is
on
hilarious
that show.
On that show. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays: dancer Cheryl Burke. Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, she's 26 years old today. Actor Dulé Hill from West Wing and from Psych. He's 35. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men is 35 years old today. Is that your belly button doing the ring?
Yeah.
Yep. No hands.
And keyboardist from Soft Cell, Davis.
Come on.
Damn you.
David Ball celebrates his 51st birthday today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Soft Cell. Painted Love. You remember them?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, our friends from the Great White North, not the Canadian one, the Scandinavian one, the Dudesons are going to be joining us in studio tomorrow. Remember those guys? Remember the Dudesons?
Yes.
The guys? They do very many painful jackass type things. They're going to be stopping by for a visit. It's been a while since we've seen them. That's tomorrow. Nathan Fillion next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we want to talk about the things that your friends do to you or the things that you have done to your friends when they pass out drunk.
Well, this dude, this story comes out of China, and this dude's 59 years old.
He was 59 years
old. Was, yeah. He passed out, and apparently what they decided to do was put an eel up his butt. And
okay, now let's stop right there. Before we find out what happened, we are going to take your calls of any stories that have to involve an eel or death, but it just involves wacky things that people have done when people have passed out. Let's talk about the guys standing around in that party going, look, he passed out. What do you want to do? And there's a long list of things that you can draw from, right?
Of course.
Generally, you either draw on a dude's face or you put his hands in water to make him pee. Or Psycho Mike likes to take his penis out and put it up on the guy's head and take photos of it so you can embarrass him with that later.
Maybe you strip him naked and you tape him to something.
Right.
Right, exactly. Great, great idea, Lisa. But how does somebody come up with, I know, here's a live eel, let's put that up his butt? How does that ever happen?
Yeah, I don't know how far down the list that is. It must have been right at the top for this particular group. But
and why is it there's somebody who says, it sounds funny, but couldn't it go horribly wrong? How do we get it out, for instance? Don't you have some sort of an exit strategy before you go there?
Exit strategy?
No, but I'm serious. If you're going to put the eel in, shouldn't somebody say, yeah, but then what?
That's true, because especially this guy was a chef, and that's why the eel was around. They're accustomed to handling these types of eels that they prepare and stuff. So you would think that guys who are around these eels a lot would know that this is an animal that by nature burrows into things and it gets scared and will eat through stuff if it feels the need to escape.
Right. So he's passed out drunk, and then they do the eel thing, and then it eats his bowels, and then he dies. And then everybody goes, yes, we got... What? What's that? He's dead.
Can you and imagine?
And then you don't even have the ha-ha of him waking up and you being able to say, oh, you're never going to believe what we did to you. It was so funny.
Maybe they lost the eel. Maybe they just thought they could do it a little bit and like take pictures or something, and it just went.
You think they were just trying to just.
Like they never thought it would actually disappear into him, never to be found again.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, but I can't. I mean, if you have an eel and you have it right next, I mean, really,
I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think what they were thinking.
Look, yeah.
It's like,
I've been drunk a lot. Okay, you could see that you would think that would be funny,
but you're all drunk,
and you're not thinking straight about what would happen or what, right? How will it get out or anything else.
No, but I feel Lisa because I could almost see myself. Pulling the let's just get a Polaroid of it in his butt,
right?
And then when he wakes up, how awesome would it be to be like, we put the seal in your butt? But
and then the eel disappears.
Then he doesn't wake up, and then it's not
apparently.
As funny.
Apparently, the butt is quite a chasm, though, because how many emergency room stories have we heard about guys who end up there because they thought, oh, I'm not going to lose the whole golf club,
right?
You know what I mean, or whatever it is, they feel like it's going to visit, and instead it moves in.
Right.
But this guy, of course, it was completely out of his control. He couldn't even make that judgment because he was so passed out. So,
What a way to die.
Bad times. And his family now forever. Hey, what happened to your dad? Well,
he died. How? It doesn't matter.
Inconsequential. Let's just
but
he's
what,
dead
give
now.
Us some detail.
A bad eel.
He was drinking. He ate a bad eel, yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Tell us your stories. Let's start with Art. He's on line 3 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, Art, I think, has the kind of example that you expect, the kind of one that everybody laughs about after the fact, the one that doesn't involve you going either to jail or to a guy's funeral. Hi, Art. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing? Lisa May, good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Pretty much what we did is our buddy passed out, and his older brother knew where his mom's vibrator was, so we found it and put it in his mouth.
Oh,
there you go. Now that's perfect.
Oh, my God. That's the responsible thing to do.
Absolutely.
You don't have an option as a guy. That's science, and that's the law. You have to do that.
And how ticked off was he when he woke up?
You don't even know, man. He's the one guy that always falls asleep and always gets something, you know, happening to him.
Well, you would think he would learn. Wait, right. He wasn't just asleep. He was passed out drunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on him then. He should have known better. All right, thank you very much for the call.
I have one last question. You turn it on, right? I mean, everybody laughs and you take pictures, but then you
turn his teeth.
Then you turn it on and it rattles him awake.
There you go.
All right, thank you for the call.
Mike is on line 6 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling up. What's going on, dude?
Hello.
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 Well, my friend threw a party, and one of our friends fell asleep, and we shaved off his eyebrows.
Nice. Like, that's a great idea.
Just before prom. Good.
Oh, man.
That's it? Just his eyebrows? I mean, not his head? That's kind of half-hearted.
I think that's enough,
dude. That's
eyebrows are enough.
No,
you know how creepy somebody looks with no eyebrows?
Yeah, but that's half-hearted.
Thank you for the call.
Mike needed to step it up a bit. That's
Kevin's not happy unless an eel is involved.
Well, I don't want anyone dying, but I'm just saying.
Let's talk to Leah. Leah on line 1 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. She's got an interesting twist on her story. Hi, Leah.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi there.
Good morning.
When I turned 21, my mom and my sister specifically asked me not to come home blasted drunk. And needless to say, I came home blacked out. And
right.
My mom and my sister told my friends to throw me in the trunk of my car.
What?
And
your mom said to do that?
Yes.
Hey, you know what would be funny, guys? We should throw her in the trunk of her car. That'd be awesome.
So, and then when I woke up, I was in the trunk of my car screaming for help, crying, and the car started moving.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
And at this point, you don't know where you are, what time it is. You don't know if you've been kidnapped. You have no idea, right?
Exactly. And I'm crying, screaming, and I felt like I was in there for hours, but I guess they drove around for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, you can't really.
Man.
Can't say the F word.
All right. Tell me the truth, Leah. Did you pee yourself?
No, but you know what? I never drank that much ever again in my life.
Wow,
so
it worked.
Lesson learned.
All right. So if you take something away from today's show, it's put your relatives in the trunk. Right? Is that
nothing
what we're saying?
Nothing bad can happen with that.
Exactly.
What could go wrong there?
Thank you, Leah. We'll take a quick break. Then we want to hear your calls. What have you done? What have you had done to you? 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean.
.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Oh, come on.
And it's 21 minutes after 8.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't have eaten when you were on vacation last week. You got to come back to work and now start eating?
Well, I have to stop eating because I'm working.
I'm just saying.
You mean to die?
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is our telephone number. We're talking about this poor guy, a chef in China, who made the mistake of passing out at a party, and his friends thought it would be hilarious to put an eel up his butt. An eel, for folks who don't know or are not familiar with that creature, by the way, is like a snake.
Yeah.
And it went in there and just devoured his bowels, and the next thing you knew, he did. So that's what happened to them. What happened to you? 1-800-520-1067. Talking about pranks you played on your friends. Let's try... Let's try Chris. Chris is on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show to get us going here. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, well, we had a friend that passed out, and he was really obnoxious when he was drunk. So it took about four of us and a 20-foot rope, and we got him and the mattress he was sleeping on the roof of the house for about 4 or 5 hours that night.
Nice.
Wow. That's impressive. So he wakes up on the roof, and it's exactly like in The Hangover. He has no idea how he got there.
Except for he's laying on his bed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
That's amazing. So did you guys finally told him that you did it, or he figured it out, or what?
Oh, he figured it out when he almost fell off.
That's what I was wondering, if there was a danger of that.
He stood up to go to the bathroom and tumbled.
Oh, you did. Well, that's good.
That's awesome. Very good. Thank you for the call. Let's try Jason. Jason's on line five. He's the first one. I'm sure there are lots of people who have stories that involve super glue. Let's find out what Jason did with it. Hey, man, what's going on?
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
All right. So at a bachelor party, the groom and the best man passed out first, and the strippers decided to super glue the best man's hand to the groom's junk.
Oh, no.
Dude. The strippers did the right thing.
Dude, it was hilarious.
Now, not to get too graphic, but stuff comes off when you super glue, right? I mean...
Yeah, it comes off pretty easily if you use nail polish remover, but that's kind of a sensitive area.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we kind of ruined his
wedding night.
Yeah, his wedding night.
Did the guy wasn't ticked at the best man because he was drunk too, right? So it wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault, but yeah, we didn't call that stripper agency ever again.
All right, but wait. So the stripper did all this, and the rest of you guys just sat around and watched?
Oh, yeah, it was too hilarious to stop it.
You did the right thing.
I agree. It is definitely too hilarious to stop. Thank you very much for the call.
I like that it's too hilarious to stop, but they'll never call him again.
Yeah, we'll never call them again.
All right, what about Parker on line one calling the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Parker, talking about pranks your friends play on you when you're drunk.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Hi.
Me and my buddies, were drinking one night, and, we decided to, the first one that passed out, we put a shock collar around his neck, like a dog shock collar.
Oh,
right.
My God.
And, basically he was laying there, we put it up to his neck and shocked him and woke up and started running after us. And, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, but then could you keep shocking, or was he just angry and that was it?
No, we shocked him a couple times.
Kept shocking. Yeah, that's the right thing. You did the right thing.
You're not feeling bad enough when you're coming out of a blackout, by the way, at a party. Now you also have a dog collar around your neck and you're being shocked.
But that dude never barked again, I'll bet. So that worked.
He never went in the house again. Let's try Nick, line two. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'll tell you just one of the stories that happened to me. It's a family tradition. It's called the Maneuver. And what
it's got a name.
Yeah, no.
Let's do the maneuver. I'm in.
And what happens is we go to Oktoberfest, and, you know, whoever passes out first gets stripped down naked, then you go around the block, you drop them off at a neighbor's house, like hopefully one of those with the sensor lights.
Right.
ring the doorbell, and then take off, and then, you know, hope... It happened to me. I got woken up by a sprinkler system.
Nice.
I woke up with my junk pretty much tucked into my body and running around trying to figure out where I was. It took me about 35 minutes to get home.
You are fun people to party with. 35
minutes.
There needs to be some sort of a video compilation. People need to get together and put all these up on a website or something so that everybody can enjoy it, because it sounds like there are so many stories.
I imagine there is one. If you know of one, let us know, because that would be fun. That would be fun video to watch.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call. Let's try Chris on line six now. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up, dude?
Hey, so real quick, in our group of friends, good morning, guys, by the way.
Good morning.
In our group of friends, you're not actually passed out unless you're, like, you know, you're sitting on the couch or whatever and somebody's passed out, got their shoes on, At that point, you're passed out. You've made no effort to disrobe or anything like that.
So the shoes are the line that you draw in the sand. You go, okay, he's got his shoes off. We can't do anything.
Absolutely. Okay. You've made an honest attempt to go to sleep.
So, all right.
In any case, jumping into the story here, a buddy of ours passed out on the couch. He's got his shoes on, so it's open season. And we got a couple of friends and picked him up, kind of just walked him out in the backyard and threw him into a pool.
Threw him into a swimming pool.
I hope he woke up.
Nice. Hello? What's happening on his phone? Are there flames? Is he on fire?
Sounds like it.
What's happening? Is this guy getting you back?
That is pretty awesome, though, to wake up in a pool.
Honestly, this guy's on fire. What happened like there?
Oh, his phone just burned up. That's so sad. The star of the show, Castle, Nathan Fillion, joins us next hour right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We have all been fans of his for such a long time. I don't believe we've ever had him on the program before, so it's very exciting. Ralph is shaving and showering right now, getting prepared to meet his new boyfriend. First, though, Monday means we get to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and, of course, TMZ Television. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good, thank you.
It was fine. Always good to talk to you. I always feel like we're not properly debriefed unless we hear from you about what's going on over the weekend. And I want to start with, I feel like this guy that I saw on the Extra TV show Friday is super sketchy. This guy who's coming out and claims that he had a gay relationship with Michael Jackson in the months leading up to his death. What are you finding out about this dude?
Well, we heard about this 4 or 5 months ago when, I don't know if you remember, but we had Arnie Klein on our show and on TMZ Live, and we were talking to him about the whole drug thing. So I actually went to Arnie Klein's house before he agreed to do this with us.
Now,
and I met this guy.
That, for people don't know, that was Michael Jackson's plastic surgeon?
Plastic surgeon, best friend,
okay.
And a guy who gave him a lot of drugs. And, he says that everything was appropriate. Some say it wasn't. So I met this other guy who was at Arnie Klein's house when I went over there to talk to him about doing this TMZ Live. And they told me the story, and I never ran it. And I don't know. I mean, I just didn't run it.
The story is the office manager, Jason Pfeiffer, said that he had a gay relationship with Michael Jackson.
Right.
You didn't run it because you didn't
believe it?
Yeah, I did. Just because somebody says it doesn't mean it's so.
Right.
And,
right.
I don't know. I mean, I just didn't have a comfort level with it. So anyway, he went on TV last week, and there was a lot of criticism about it, that, that it was baloney, that, why, and the big thing is, on a level, I really like Arnie Klein. I think he's a really accomplished doctor. He's really successful in town. There were issues with Michael Jackson, but that aside, he's a really successful doctor, but, I actually called him on it, and I said, dude, you're betraying Michael Jackson here, because that's not something that he wanted talked about, and you're his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, his reaction was, well, Michael wanted people to know, and no, he didn't.
Wait a minute. Michael wanted people to know that he was gay?
No, he didn't.
Absolutely not. Yeah, he didn't. And Harvey's right, by the way. This Dr. Klein is sort of supporting his office worker by saying, yeah, there were times where I walked in and saw them together in the office and Michael would have his shirt on and it was pretty clear it was pretty clear what was going on. I mean, he's basically backing up this dude's story that there was something physical going on with Jackson, right?
Not basically. He is. I mean, he didn't say it on TV, but he told me, and when we did TMZ Live, he said it again. So, he is saying it, and I don't know. When we put a poll up on the website and we asked, did Arnie Klein betray Michael Jackson, 78% of the people said yes.
Yeah, Michael had a lot of options if he wanted to tell people he was gay.
Yeah.
A lot of options, and this was his best friend.
Right.
And yeah, so we asked, do you believe Jason, this guy, 68% say no.
Okay. All right, moving on. It's been a fascinating story to see it unravel in the press. What is your take on the on-again, off-again allegations and relationship between Tito Ortiz and Jenna Jameson? Because I can't figure out how this one came down.
Well, I can tell you. So here's the deal. They got in a huge fight. Now, in terms of what happened, it depends on what day you're talking, because Jenna Jameson said that Tito Ortiz hurt her hand during a big argument. He's saying, I did not hurt her hand. She went crazy in the house after I found these OxyContin pills, and she's an OxyContin addict. So first, That was the allegation. Then she took it back. Then he held a press conference talking about the OxyContin. Then she said, no, he's a wife beater. And now she's taken it back again. And he's taken it back. And we found out that he may move back into the house as early as Wednesday, that they have reconciled. Now, all of that said, you got to realize, too, Tito Ortiz is a business. And he's got $15 million on the line between the UFC and all of the other businesses.
Right.
So that is going to go down the toilet if these charges stick or if the arrest sticks. So I think there's a whole lot on the line here. But, boy, you know, that's what's going on right now. That could change in 2 hours.
Does it sound to you, and you've heard a lot of these kind of allegations, does it sound to you like there was a lot going on and they took it back just because it was convenient or that it never went on?
I mean, I wasn't in the house, so I don't know. I mean,
I'm surprised that you weren't, frankly, Harvey.
You're not doing your job.
Usually you are in the house.
Okay, that was quick.
I am disappointed there is not a full-time webcam in Jenna Jameson's house, come to think of it. So we can all be witnesses, to tell you the truth.
There probably is. It's just not TMZ.
Yeah, right. All right. Last question for you, if this is okay with you, Harvey, and that is reports are streaming out this morning that it's serious that Tiger Woods is actually meeting with a divorce attorney and that it's happening and it's happening soon. And he can't be having a very good week after the way he played golf last week either, by the way.
No, I mean, I think that right now it sure looks like they're headed for divorce.
How can they not? Isn't it just, I mean, you look at that story and you go, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, who knew? Listen, again, like you had said with Tito, who knows in terms of just the business side of this what they would do? I mean, would they stick it out? Would they not stick it out? You know, what's the deal with money? What about the kids? But it looks like it all signs are that this is heading for divorce.
I didn't see nearly as much coverage on that Quail Hollow tournament last week that we did, of course, a couple weeks ago with the Masters. But Tiger shot, I mean, he missed the cut. He didn't even make the tournament. Did he have any temper tantrums or anything like that I missed last week, Harvey?
Well, I didn't see temper tantrums, but I'll tell you a quick story, which I think is hilarious. So, you know, after he didn't make the cut, he reportedly went to the Ritz-Carlton in, I think it was Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. We put a story up this morning. And so Jocelyn James was actually going to appear at a strip club in Charlotte.
Right.
And she was booked at the same Ritz.
Right.
And so they were treating her as a high-profile celebrity. But when she landed, they said, we don't have room for you. We can't have you come in because, you know, it's too much media attention. So Gloria Allred has now written a letter demanding an apology to the Ritz-Carlton.
What a surprise.
Basically, this is a hardworking woman, and you are basically, you know, favoring a philanderer billionaire golfer. So I love
that. That's hilarious. All right. Good stuff, as always, TMZ.com 24/7, and check your local listings for TMZ Television. Managing Editor Harvey Levin, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Great talking to you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:55.
No need for that, man.
What?
Need for anything he does.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Stone Temple Pilots, also Muse, Green Day, and a little actor by the name of Nathan Fillion is going to be joining us coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know you're very deeply in love, but you'll scare our guest away if you don't tone it down a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
God damn it, he's good.
That's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman. Hey, this is kind of weird that we've all been sort of together in the same room on the same show at the same time.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since this has happened.
Me no likey. Another Canadian, by the way, Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
They're taking over our airwaves, you know.
They are.
Look, I'm a huge fan. But him and Stonacatic both. Canucks. What is this, the CBC? Whatever happened to American Broadcasting? They're on ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Good point.
Well, I don't think you have to be American to be on it.
Well, you should have to be, damn it. There's unemployed American actors out there.
Right.
Saying, I can say, I am. I'm ruggedly handsome. And we could say that, too.
Are any of them as hot as Stanikatic?
No.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And by the way, especially with the May Day rallies just behind us, let's check his papers when he comes in here.
That's an excellent idea.
I think we have a reasonable suspicion that he may be here illegally. How about that?
He best be carrying a green card or else something's going to go down.
Are we able to demand that?
We're going to call Sheriff Joe, and then we're going to hold Nathan Fillion until Joe gets here.
This will be a citizen's arrest. Send him back.
Wherever it is he came from.
Wherever it is he came from. Alberta. I think he's an Alberta boy. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. A Nightmare on Elm Street. It was a nightmare of a pronunciation right there. $32.2 million made it number one by far this weekend. How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah, I'd train my dragon, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Gotta go train the dragon. My favorite new euphemism.
That is adorable.
Top 10 movie came in number two this weekend. $10.8 million. Date Night was third. The Backup Plan was fourth. Furry Vengeance. Story of a angry woman who no longer shaves her privates to get back at her lovers.
That's true.
The Losers was six. Clash of the Titans, seventh. Kick-Ass, Death at a Funeral, and Oceans. Now, is this Ocean's 13, 14? Which ocean is this?
It's the same thing. This is a Disney thing about the actual ocean.
Weak. It's 10th at the box office. No wonder. If they put Brad Pitt and George Clooney in it, they would have had
three
numbers at the box office. Wake up, Disney. All right. Speaking of movies, Batman 3 has been announced by Warner Brothers. Will be out in 2012. It's official. Director Christopher Nolan's back on board, as is Christian Bale. However, no word yet on who Batman will be battling in this third installment in the Batman series.
Is there any word on perhaps him toning it down a bit so we can understand what he's saying?
Why, Kevin? Why do you think that's necessary? I mean, he's fighting crime.
Hey, it's distracting.
Sorry. That's what we're saying.
You tired of Betty White?
Yes.
No. I love her.
Popping up everywhere you look?
Yes.
No, well, she's the best.
So is she. In an interview with the New York Daily News, the 88-year-old actress said she is sick and tired of hearing her own name, and can't imagine how the rest of the world feels.
Same.
Apparently, she's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly magazine this week, surrounded by a good-looking group of young cabana boys. See what they do there? They take an old lady, and they surround her with hot dudes, and that's comedy.
How dare you, first of all, retracting the bell. Second of all, look, Ralph, you appreciate great acting. Betty White is a really, really talented comedic actress. At least give her that.
She has been a funny character actress on television for a long, long time. I do not understand, however, the Betty White mania that is sweeping through the nation now with Facebook pages, and she has to host Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And
take it easy, everybody.
She's been around. Where, what? You didn't know she's been around for 60 years?
I know. I think people just appreciate the fact that she's still alive and still so funny. That's all.
I think people appreciate the fact if you would shut the F up.
Oh, my God.
Anyone else?
Wow. Betty White says in the interview in Entertainment Weekly, I wish Bean would shut the F up.
Really?
Yeah. See?
She agrees.
Coincidentally.
I love that she's hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend with musical guest Jay-Z, because we've always wanted to see them appear on the same program together.
She's probably going to bust some rhymes with him.
I hope
so. Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Kiss is the greatest band in the world.
Yep.
According to Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons. Really? What a surprise.
Did an interview with London's Telegraph newspaper, and he said that Kiss is the most recognized pop culture image on Earth, bigger than Mickey Mouse, he said. Gene proves his point that they're the greatest band in the world by saying U2 doesn't have its own comic book, there is no Mick Jagger action figure, and no other band in the world has its own Visa card. Hence, well, Kiss is the greatest band in the world.
Have they hoarded themselves out to the most products of any band? Yes, I'll give him that.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's the best rock band.
And casting news, Iron Mike Tyson continues to get roles.
Awesome.
If that's the sound of actors committing suicide all over Los Angeles.
He's a good actor.
First it's the Canadians, now it's the rapists.
Really?
There's no room for actors anymore. It's just reality stars, rapists, and Canadians. That's all we got.
Which is a new show on the CW, by the way.
Apparently, Mike has an arc on HBO's show Entourage next season. He'll be showing up on that show, I'm assuming, as himself.
I can't imagine he would ever be able to play anyone else.
Oh, it says here he will play a Swedish chef who opens his own restaurant in Los Angeles. So that's interesting.
Yes, I'm Swedish. Here with your meal.
That'd be great. See him at the fight? He was there. He was ringside. At the big Mayweather-Mosley fight.
See Muhammad Ali and his...
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali, who is sad.
It is way sad.
And he had a little grandkid on him that was just asleep the whole time.
Yeah.
The entire fight.
And he's wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's because of the Parkinson's or whatever. His eyes are sensitive to light or whatever, but just what a fallen mythic figure he is.
Yeah.
I mean, not any fault of his own. I mean, the guy's got a disease.
He's sick, right.
It is remarkable to remember where he was. And for those of you who don't remember, he was the most famous man on the planet, the biggest athlete in the world. From that position to where he is now is one of the great tragedies.
It is.
Yeah. And Schwarzenegger, too. Also, one of the great tragedies. He was also there this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, dancer Cheryl Burke from... Nope, that's wrong. Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars. Cheryl Burke is a different person. 26 years old today. Actor Dulé Hill, 35 years old. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men is 35 years old today. Psycho Mike thinks she needs to lose weight.
Giant size cans.
And singer James Brown. I'm going to keep announcing his birthday until he comes back to life.
I like it.
Has Dave not, does he not get CNN anymore? Did he not know what happened to Mr. Brown? Or?
And you know, Dave, the King of Mexico, gives me this list every morning of celebrity birthdays. And I rarely check it because usually, 99% of the time, he's right on.
You might need a new source.
Occasionally, he gives me a celebrity that is questionable, but usually they're all alive, is all I'm saying.
For
today,
the most part.
Today, I got James Brown. And so after we talked about it initially this morning, he said, is James Brown really dead? And I said, that might be the problem right there. James Brown would have been 77
Was this
years
in
old.
The news?
Yeah, it was in the news for a while. Ralph Garman and I walked the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
And
we are taking over Magic Mountain Friday, May 14th. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets. And join Nicole Alvarez as she broadcasts live.
Bring her liquor.
Do not do that.
She likes that.
It is now 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
We have a special guest, so why don't you hit that big intro as we...
There are two kinds of folks who sit around thinking about how to kill people. Psychopaths and mystery writers. I'm the kind that pays better. Who am I?
I'm Rick Castle.
Castle.
I really am ruggedly handsome, aren't I?
Every writer needs inspiration, and I found mine.
Detective Kate Beckett. Beckett. Nikki Heath.
The character he's basing on you.
And thanks to my friendship with the mayor, I get to be on her case.
I'd be happy to let you spank me.
And together we catch killers. Make a pretty good team, you know, like Starsky and Hutch, Turner and Hooch.
You do remind me a little of Hooch.
He has been on our wish list for many years now. We are so excited to welcome to the studio for the first time ever, ladies and gentlemen, one of the stars of Castle, Nathan Fillion. It's here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Nathan, how are you, man?
Oh, my God, this is so exciting.
He lied.
You don't have to fake the fuck, man. We're the ones who are excited. You're just doing it because you agreed to it in a drunken haze. So
I'm very excited. This is my first day off. We just wrapped up the filming.
Oh, nice.
So you had the rap party this weekend?
We did. We had it on Saturday.
Any drunken stories of debauchery from the rap party?
I got my butt pinched.
That's sweet.
All right.
Yeah. You know who
was
did it?
Was it by somebody that you wanted to pinch it?
It was a strong hand. I'm imagining one of the grips or electric.
Yeah. Probably a Teamster.
Exactly. Yeah. They have strong hands.
I have to give our friend Ralph Garman, the one who's hanging onto your leg right there, he's the one who first caught the Castle fever and has just been raving about it since your first episode.
Haven't missed an episode.
I'm shaking his hand now. Thank you, Ralph.
We finally had your co-star Stana on a few weeks ago, and one of our listeners points out that you had the highest ratings ever for your series the week that we had her on.
Yeah.
So I hope that means good things, and I hope that means a good result as a result of this interview as well.
I'll tell you, if you look at my resume, you'll see a long line of failed television programs. It's a very different experience being on a TV show that people actually watch.
Although Firefly, ratings-wise, may not have been a juggernaut, it certainly has a huge fan base that still are diehard fans.
Everything I've done, I think, has been really great. Great, great shows. But, you know, Firefly fans, they're few and far between.
Yeah.
There's nobody who saw Firefly and went, you know, I saw that. they all love it. But people tend to enjoy Castle. I think... that we're playing some notes that people want to hear.
And I mentioned this to Stana when she was in. I enjoyed the show from the outset, but I think as much as I enjoyed it in the first season, it's gotten that much better in the second season. It really has kind of hit its stride now, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the story with a lot of TV shows. You start to find out what's good. People start to play the strengths, and you find your stride. Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't seem like a lot of TV shows have the time to find their stride.
That's the problem.
Isn't that right? Isn't that just the torture? It's like, oh.
ABC really has kind of been behind the show. They really seem to support it.
They've been very kind to us. They gave us an excellent time slot. They gave us a lot of great promos, a lot of opportunities to shine.
Nathan, you mentioned that you've been on a lot of shows that maybe haven't panned out. Were you enjoying your career despite some of the hiccups along the road? Were you just grateful to be working, or was it super frustrating for you all the time to be doing what you thought was real good work and not having it connect with people?
You know, I'm always enjoying myself. I've been very fortunate. I haven't had to do any, not a lot of gay porn, you know, to paint the
film. Right, right. Not a lot.
Mostly softcore, though, the stuff you've done.
Thank you. Yeah. but... What was your question?
I was just saying, I'm trying to figure out how you balance. Yeah, I enjoy the work that I'm doing. I think I'm doing good work. But it has to be so frustrating to, quote unquote, try to make it, to get to a point where there's a level of a level of success where you can relax a little bit and go, okay, now I've got a job for a while.
Yeah. The mortgage will be paid for a while.
Yeah. You know, it's as an actor, I think you spend most of your time, most of your job is looking for a job. Most of your work is looking for work. That's a
rough gig.
It's a rough gig.
I mean, considering.
Trying to do that, keeping your dignity.
Yeah.
Not taking it personal when you don't get a job. These things are, you know, those are the pitfalls.
But the good thing is there aren't a lot of other people out there looking for that same work.
That's
so
true.
Exactly, right? You got it all to yourself.
It's a small pool to draw from. But you're one of those guys, and this is, you know, people talk about this when they talk about your career, is you had a lucrative soap opera career going on initially when you first started in the business.
I don't know how lucrative it was. It certainly was steady. That was steady,
hard-working
gig.
Well, for an actor, that's
hard
to find as steady work. Right. And yet you walked away. You said, I'm gonna look for other opportunities. I'm not going to get locked into that cycle, which some soap actors do. That becomes their life.
Bob Woods, the guy who played my uncle Bo Buchanan on the show, sat me down 2 years into my 3-year contract, and he says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to pack your bags. You're going to move to Los Angeles. He spelled it all out for me.
Is that right?
He said, this is what's going to happen. This is what they're going to tell you.
Make a break for
it. Ask you, but this is what you're going to do. And he square in the eye. And you know what? Everything happened exactly the way he said it would happen.
Wow.
So when it came
Why
time,
did he want you off the show so bad?
He wanted my dressing room.
Apparently.
But no, he said, this is an opportunity and you need to take this opportunity. Go to LA, try things out. And if it doesn't work out, they'll always take you back. And he gave me the confidence to leave. And God, I thank him so much for that.
When you're on a show like One Life to Live, though, that is also tremendous training for an actor because that's a lot of dialogue to learn every day. And
Hardest
you really have to be good,
do.
Right?
Hardest work you'll ever do. We put on a 44-minute program every day. It's fast. It's not just the dialogue. It's, you know, hitting the marks. It's making good choices. It's acting. It's everything I do on a daily basis, only 20 times the speed.
Yeah.
And we hear so much about, you know, especially when you're on a show like Firefly, we know all about sci-fi geeks at this point, and we know how rabid they can be, and, you know, thanks to them, that's how you ended up getting the movie made.
Yeah.
But what about the rabid, diehard Young and the Restless fans, or One Life to Live fans, or General Hospital fans? What are those people like? Because they're equally crazy, aren't they?
You know, you'll find every strata of person in fandom. You'll find everybody. But generally speaking, this is very generally speaking, there was a little more willingness to not see you as the person you actually are. There's a lot of people who wouldn't draw the line between your character and you as an actor. Like, they saw you on the street in New York City. I mean, New Yorkers are, I think it was also kind of a perfect storm. You're in New York.
Right.
You're on a show that's on every day for an hour, so you're in their living rooms every day. They feel they know you. You know, you're killing your mother.
You heard that?
That woman, Dorian, she's no good for you. You know that's just a show. Oh, I know, but your mother's killing you.
That's awesome.
The line does tend to blur between fantasy and reality for a lot of soap fans. That's true.
All right, we need to take a break. Nathan Fillion is here.
We're having fun.
No,
we're talking
on,
to our
Kevin,
guy. Kevin,
Castle,
are you bad?
Castle is the name of the show. It is on Monday nights, and we will be right back.
I'd like to be invested in our conversation with our guest, Nathan Fillion, but Betty White is on Regis and Kelly right now. So
Jesus.
I'm going to have to step out and go watch Betty. I'm sorry. You can't blame me.
Feel free.
I understand.
We'll carry on without you.
Yeah.
Castle airs Monday nights on the American.
You said you were leaving.
On the American Broadcasting Corporation.
Yeah. Too bad there are no Americans in it.
Interestingly, though, they can't seem to cast a Homer. I don't know what's going on. The goddamn Canadians coming out here and taking all of our jobs.
But one
of
them CBC.
That's right. One of them is in our studio right now, Nathan Fillion, talking about the Castle. And I got to agree with Ralph. I don't know how, as a heterosexual man, I don't know how you work with Stana Katic and not fall in love. She's unbelievable. She came in here a few weeks ago, and we admired her on the show. But in person, beautiful and funny and just charming. Oh, my God, we loved her so much.
She charmed our pants off.
Very
in my case,
girl.
Literally.
Very pretty girl. Keep your pants on.
Right. Does she ask about me? Does she ask about when?
All the time. It's all she ever talks about.
Did she mention me on the set at all when she
Twice.
Went back? That's what I figured.
What's your name?
Ralph.
Nathan, how difficult is it growing up in Alberta, Canada, to make it to Hollywood? Are there some special obstacles coming from out of the country, or no? Was that never a hindrance?
Apparently it's pretty easy.
For you,
I was going to be a high school teacher. I was 4 months away from graduating. I had one class that I nearly failed, but it brought down my GPA, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to take a summer course and pick up that grade and this and that. What am I going to do? And I got a phone call from a soap opera, One Life to Live in New York City, saying, we found an old audition tape of yours that you sent to Vancouver, went to L.A., and then came around to New York.
What?
That you did a year ago.
What are the chances of that? Of all of those things happening one after another.
Exactly. So they said, we'll fax you the script. You send us a videotape. And 3 weeks later, I was living in New York City.
Wow.
That was weird.
So F the kids, you're saying. You don't care about high school kids anymore. Now you have a career.
Dropped it like a hot rock.
Yeah. What were you going to teach? What was the plan?
Like an art and drama teacher. I've always been fond of the acting kind of a thing. Just right. Acting, not a success-oriented career. Never mind in Edmonton, Alberta.
Right.
The best, most wonderful, incredible actors I know who work constantly in Edmonton, they're just scraping it.
Yeah.
Just trying to put it together. But they're amazing. Amazing.
They must
people.
Have been happy when you were handed a career. That must have been made them happy. When just a phone call came from One Life to Live and you're jetting off to New York. That must have made them pretty pleased, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good story.
Not a lot of hours billed to get to that point, it sounds like.
Well, at the same time, they have a place to stay when they come to L.A. So.
That's true. It all works out.
All right. We got a clip of Castle. This is from a very hot episode a couple of weeks ago, which involved a lot of mistresses. By the way, let me back up one step, because there may be people listening who don't even know about Castle. Don't even know what the premise is. Why don't you explain just briefly what the setup is, Nathan, so people know what we're listening to.
Well, when you get up in the morning out of your cave... No, I'm teasing. This is I play Richard Castle, a murder mystery novelist who has lost his passion for his work and killed off his most popular character out of sheer boredom of writing him, and then meets a homicide detective upon which he uses he bases a new character for a new series of novels. She becomes his muse, and now instead of imagining crimes and writing about them, he's actually on the forefront of homicide investigations, actually participating, doing research for his new series of novels.
Right.
Loving every minute of it.
Sure.
Now, is there now going to be a spinoff series of novels? It seems like that would be the obvious tie-in to fans of the show to go out and buy books now.
Well, the first book Richard Castle writes in the series is called Heatwave, the character Nikki Heat that he bases on Detective Beckett. Heatwave, they had someone come in.
It's out, right?
You can go to the bookstore right now and buy Richard Castle's
Is that right?
Heat Wave. It was number 6 on the New York Times bestseller list. 16 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list.
How about that? And you tell everybody you wrote it, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course.
Of course, your castle.
Why not? Face on the dust jacket.
It's true. It's true. Nothing makes you feel more clever than signing a book with your face on it.
Absolutely. Had nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
All right, Kevin, do we need any setup on this clip?
I don't believe so, Rob.
This is Castle and Kate, who are investigating a murder that involves the underground world of S&M, and they go into a dungeon where Kate Beckett pretends to be his mistress so they can get into the inner workings of this dungeon.
You totally
watch
the show.
I love this show.
Yeah.
You know, you should moonlight. Seriously, you would make a fortune. Come on, haven't you ever wanted to do something with your handcuffs other than arrest criminals?
No, but there is one hot, wild, kinky thing that I do like doing. Putting killers behind bars.
See? You're already a tease. You're halfway there.
See?
Buzzkill. Castle airs Monday nights at 10 on ABC. And as I've heard you say in interviews recently, Nathan, you've never had a season 3 before. So this is a lot of fun for you. So
that's a done deal, right? ABC's bringing you back for season 3.
Yeah, they can't stop us now.
How about that?
Legally, right. I think.
Well, we know that this is one of your last contractual obligations before you're actually on vacation. So
that's
have a
right.
wonderful, wonderful vacation. And thank you for making our dreams come true and finally stopping by and seeing us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Thanks for all the kind words. You guys have always been very, very kind to us. Thank you. And we really appreciate it. We hear all about it and we love it.
It's a great show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Little kid out of here because the little kid is misinterpreting my bromance with Nathan Fillion.
He's a total gaylord.
I agree.
I think we hit it off, and I think we're going to be best buddies.
I don't see that happening.
I think him and Stana and I are going to be a very lovely three-way.
But you were pushing. He's a homosexual.
All right, easy.
You were pushing pretty hard to go on vacation with him.
I'm just saying, I've never been to Tahiti, and I was just wondering, if he needed someone to carry his bags.
Is that code?
Luggage.
All right.
Samsonites.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? All the kids are
men using were men back then, I'll tell you. You wanted to do something private with another man, it wasn't gay. No, it's just two men celebrating each other's strength.
That I think right. He's a homosexual.
Mm-hmm. I just want to celebrate my strength with Nathan Fillion. That's all
right. All. Listen,
All right, let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
Yeah, but these guys are really super gay.
All right. Nightmare on Elm Street, the new reboot.
Anyone gay?
Legendary comedy horror franchise. Less comedy this time, much more horror.
Yeah.
Jackie Earle Haley stars as Freddy Krueger. $32.2 million made it number one. How to Train Your Dragon was second at the box office. Date Night was third. Backup Plan was fourth. Furry Vengeance.
Yeah. Glendale.
Made $6.5 million. Made
you
it
were
number
asking
five.
Nathan about his Furry Vengeance and about Training His Dragon, by the way, when we were off the air. That concerned me a little bit.
The Losers was sixth. Clash of the Titans, seventh. Kick-Ass, Death at a Funeral, and Oceans rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to our buddy Seth Green. He and his girlfriend Claire Grant are now husband and wife. Happened Saturday at George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch up in Northern California. Seth knows George from working together on the Robot Chicken Star Wars episodes, and apparently they became friendly enough that Seth was able to borrow his giant complex to have his wedding.
That's pretty cool.
Seth Green.
Come on. Weird Al Yankovic was among the invited guests.
Awesome.
Seth is the best.
He really is.
Who has a wedding? I mean, that's just every part of that story is ridiculous.
I'd have to get Weird Al up on the bandstand if he was at my wedding and say, how about a couple tunes?
Absolutely. Weird.
Lance Armstrong and his girlfriend Anna Hansen are expecting a child. This is Armstrong's fifth baby. Three with his ex-wife, and now two with his girlfriend, Anna Hansen.
Anna?
What? How powerful are his sperm?
He's got
half the supply of everyone else.
Got a powerful ball. Tell you that.
He's just knocking them out of the park. I think his sperm are like little sperm bicycles, and they just go racing towards the egg super fast.
One testicle! What an atom!
Little sperms with helmets on, just using their little spermy tail to turn the wheels as fast as possible.
Knocking everybody else out of the way.
Just sperm just spilling out on the curves on the way to the ovum.
I swear to God, you will come back stronger than ever. Like Lance Armstrong, but with two balls.
Right.
Doesn't need them.
The tour de ovum. You see it now.
Yeah.
Lea Michele, star of Glee.
No.
Psycho Mike, what's wrong with you? You have such a narrow definition of beauty.
What happened? Yep.
I think she is a stunning, stunning, talented woman.
She is, but you're like what's his face? You're like, what's his name on Hot or Not with your little laser pointer, just pointing out every possible imperfection.
She is not your classic beauty, but I think she's sexy as hell and a beautiful actress.
I agree with both of you, but there
why
is a,
is he yelling nose?
Because there's
back
a
of the
nose
room.
Factor. There
so,
is a factor.
If she makes it work, who cares?
There's a factor.
The nose factor. For Joe Rogan's new series. We're all looking forward to it. Noses aren't a factor for you. She's going to say. Anyway, I think she's hot.
She is hot.
She is disputing rumors that she was once part of a hot couple with Matthew Morrison, who plays Mr. Schuster on that show. Apparently, they have known each other for years. They did work on Broadway at the same time, have known each other from their previous work, but they never were sexually or romantically involved at any time. So we can all relax.
Because he thought she was too ugly, right? Because of her nose.
Said, not with that nose, I'm not.
So she was Schuster, on Broadway.
Mr. Schuster is not doing his students, which is good news.
I'm just glad she's not fat like Christina Hendricks. Right, Mike?
Yep.
Oh, Mike, you're so
Mike,
sad.
You're so
you
bad.
Said it.
You're bad in every way.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Harry.
Tells Us Weekly Magazine that she was thrilled recently when she received a phone call from Neil Patrick Harris, who asked her if she liked the play Rent. He asked her to play the role of Mimi in his L.A. production of the show. And Vanessa said at the moment she thought he was asking her out to go see Rent. To which I responded, really? That's what you thought he was asking you out?
Wow, that's odd.
You need to pick up Us Weekly more often. You shouldn't just speak to them. You should read it once in a while. You would have known there was no danger of that happening. Whatsoever. Glee has become quite the stopover for celebrities now that Madonna's tribute episode was such a huge success. Tomorrow night's episode will feature a little visit by Olivia Newton-John. Who, by the way, did you know she's 60 years old now?
What?
Yeah, she is.
Star of Grease, little Sandy from Grease, and of course, star of Xanadu and other semi-successful film projects.
Nobody really plays or remembers her records much anymore, except for Grease. I think that's probably the only thing people, young people, know her from anymore, because Grease has kind of had, you know, kind of hung on there for a while.
I think they know this song, too, that she does in tomorrow night's episode as a duet with Jane Lynch. I'm sure you understand.
If we could turn up the auto-tune, I don't think it's...
Well, I think Jane Lynch may not have the strongest voice,
barely
so
audible.
They auto-tune her a little bit in her in their duet.
Just a tiny bit.
Do yourself a favor when you get a chance. Go on YouTube and look at the original video for Let's Get Physical, Olivia Newton-John.
It's pretty hot.
It is the gayest video you've ever seen.
I don't remember. I just remember her being hot.
It's hot if you're Psycho Mike.
I remember her being hot.
She is hot in it, but she is surrounded by oiled-up bodybuilders and Speedos who, one by one, start pairing off with each other and leaving the gym together.
Who knew?
I didn't know. I saw it recently, and I was shocked and surprised. And the Black Diamond Sky Tour this fall has been announced. Alice in Chains is going to be headlining, along with Deftones and Mastodon. Wow. Three bands will play arenas and amphitheaters for 13 shows so far, kicking off in Chicago on September the 16th. For all the info, you can go to Black Diamond Sky, spelled SKYE.com for all the info. And in more live music news, Ozfest will be back this summer. Took a year off last year, but now... The tour will kick off on August 14th in San Bernardino, California. Joining Ozzy on the lineup will be Motley Crue, Rob Halford of Judas Priest fame, and his solo band and Black Label Society. Nine other bands will join Ozfest this year. After the tour opener, Ozfest will be in Chicago, Pittsburgh, Hartford, Connecticut, Camden, New Jersey, and Boston. So if you're in any of those areas, you can check it out. And Jeremy Irons... You know who I'm talking about, right? He was the bad guy in Die Hard 3.
Yes, he was great.
He's been an actor a long time. He's in a movie called Dead Ringers where he played Siamese twin gynecologists who are psychopaths.
Right.
It's a very entertaining film. He's got a new HBO or Showtime perhaps series coming up soon called The Borgias, based on that that dynasty, that family. But he said he is recognized in the strangest places as an actor. He was out for a spin on his motorcycle, he told the New York Post, when he was at a red light and another motorcycle guy rolled up next to him at the red light, flipped up his helmet, and demanded the $12.50 he spent to see Die Hard 3. He wanted the money back.
Is that right?
Yeah. Which I think is out of line, because there must be some sort of statute of limitations that passes on bad movies where you can't get your money back anymore.
Depends on how bad it is.
And lastly, in movie news, Warner Brothers announced on Friday that Batman 3 will be out in 2012. They've got a release date set for the third in the rebooted Batman series. Christopher Nolan's returning to direct. Christian Bale will once again play The Dark Knight.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
And rumors are that it will be in 3D this time around. Batman 3D.
Isn't that true pretty much of everything now?
Pretty much every movie now will be made in 3D. No word yet on what villain... will be battling the Caped Crusader this time around. There,
I hope it's Lord Fogg.
Oh, Lord Fogg would be great.
Lord Fogg.
Yeah, that was from the TV series. I don't think they're going to go back to the TV series.
Maybe a Lord.
Maybe Riddler, maybe Catwoman. Those are the rumors.
Lord Fogg.
Yeah.
Come on.
How about the Mad Hatter? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Mad Hatter. Oh, yeah.
Did he throw hats?
Sweet. No, he didn't throw hats. He had a hat that he could control your mind with. Man.
There were some questionable villains on the TV show.
Really?
Wasn't there one?
Fog
Ralph
out of his pipe. That's how he would mask his getaways. Was he would light his pipe of fog and he would
Excuse
get away.
Me, all I smoke.
Wasn't there also Ralph? Please tell me I'm not hallucinating. Wasn't there also a guy who was like he threw books or something? He had something.
He didn't throw books. The bookworm.
What was the bookworm? How was that a villain?
He used his books to plot his crimes, his evil crimes. And he once trapped Batman Robin in a giant cookbook. It was made out of steel.
That's right.
Oh my God.
I knew there was a book.
And he tried to steam them to death.
Come on.
What? None of what you're saying is true.
And the recipe in the cookbook was for steamed bats. See how we did that?
There was a villain in the cartoons. Was he in the comic book? He was called The Hole. And he was actually pretty awesome.
The Hole?
Yeah.
I think you're watching
that's a whole different thing.
He could create his own holes into other dimensions and literally like throw them at people or just hold them in the air and catch bullets. He was like a really killer.
If Ralph hasn't heard of it.
I don't remember The Hole.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's Lord Fogg. I hope that's the villain in the next Batman movie.
I don't think so. I'm pulling for Egghead.
Egghead!
What did Egghead do?
He used to have all egg-themed crimes. They had themes, these guys, basically. And you've always said, like, this is exasperating. Oh, he said a lot of egg puns.
Here's
Vincent Price.
That's right.
You're excruciating, Batman.
Oh, dear God, I hope you all die.
Today's celebrity birthday. What should we die? We can make the series.
Come on, Lord Fogg.
How about Louis the Lilac?
Who had
killer eating plants who would eat you. Today's celebrity birthday, Cheryl Burke, dancer from Dancing with the Stars, is 26 years old today. Lord Fogg. Dule Hill, actor, very talented actor from West Wing and Psych, is 35 years old today. Christina Hendricks celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning on an all-new program, we have the Dudesons in. I don't know if you remember them or not. But
the Dudesons.
The Dudesons are, they're crazy, first of all. They hurt each other a lot.
Yeah, we do.
It doesn't seem. Last time they were here, what did they have, a tattooed
bullseye.
Target or bullseye or something? And they're throwing darts at each other's stomachs.
Yeah.
It's jackass type stuff, but not as funny.
But with a Nordic flair.
It just seems so painful. Everything they did was so painful. We were like, why are you doing that?
One guy sticks a furet up his butt.
So we have them in studio tomorrow. We have the creator of the cuddle drug. Have you heard of this? The cuddle drug.
Cuddle drug.
You take it and it makes you want to cuddle.
Well, I hope he said it.
Sounds like a Batman sample. Villain.
The cuddler. Oh, no, Robin. It's the cuddler.
Whatever you do, let's not. We're going to talk about Manny Ramirez fighting for his own website. Apparently, he wants MannyRamirez.com, which is owned by somebody else.
I hope he has a horn.
Larry Merchant must die. You know who I'm talking about, Larry Merchant? That old dude.
Part of the HBO broadcast team.
Floyd, but they use him because...
You have mixed emotions tonight.
I really don't want to see either one of these guys even fight. And I appreciate Oscar.
They use him because he talks really slowly?
Because he called the first fight, so they want to kind of keep the tradition going.
The very first fight between any two men?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He's way old and needs to go away. Who's with me?
He was at Cain v. Abel.
And also, do guys want girls to fake orgasms?
Interesting.
Is that what guys want? I'm going to say yes, as a matter of fact, yes.
Really? Wouldn't you rather know if you're actually delivering the goods or not?
I think if most guys knew, they would be too depressed.
Or maybe they would work a little harder.
That could be.
They would bring their A game.
Well, that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin
and
Bean Show.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, first of all, tell Mike that the hole was Spider-Man and he was called The Spot, is what one Kevin and Bean listener says. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, Mike, but that's what he goes. Second of all, congratulations to Larry Verner from La Habra. He was the grand prize drawing winner earlier today to have Phoenix come play in his backyard. We gave you a chance to qualify for that all weekend long, and he is the winner. Larry is going to have Phoenix showing up at his home in La Habra. So congratulations. Stick around. Cat Corbett's up next for 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including some Primus. How about that? Also the new one from Jack Johnson, Radiohead, 30 Seconds to Mars, Smashing Pumpkins, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.